and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. We've replaced our house sparks today with Fugelstein crystals. Let's watch the phone.
I'm disoriented. Hal's so tall today.
Wow. What?
What is this unholy alchemy?
Who made this one?
Rocky Mountain Mike. What a guy.
Because it's not Fridays with Fugelstein. It's Wednesdays. We're doing a switcheroo. Like Freaky Friday.
So and much you can rhyme with Fugelstein.
Hal was throwing out the first pitch
at the Pittsburgh Pirates game.
Yes, and hopefully he'll join us Friday in your
place. I was just sitting here enjoying earthquakes at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, how about that? Did you feel that stuff?
I did not. It. He caught himself shaving, though.
Yes.
I was hoping it was some sort of bar fight with Lindsay Lohan story.
It was at like 3:15 this morning.
3:18.
3:18?
It was
a 3.8 centered around Marina Del Rey.
I just got off the plane, get back out of New York where it's safe, and I come here.
You'd think I'd notice if my bed moved, but you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, well.
The cobwebs jiggle a little bit.
It's been a while. I'm sorry.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's all right. So many levels.
But I was partying with Al Gore last night.
I know. I got there right after you left. I came straight from the airport, and everyone had already left. Al Gore left. You left. It was me and Cenk Uygur's two-year-old.
Well, once Al and Fiddy and I leave, it's done.
I know.
Fiddy was there?
Jackie Schechner, and once we're gone.
Was Fiddy there?
Oh, Al and Fiddy came in Fiddy's stretch SUV. Yeah. And
Fiddy was not.
I was like, okay.
So gullible.
I don't know. I mean, he might be in progressive circles now. I don't get invited to these things.
Am I gullible? Really? Oh.
Really? How do you think I got so gullible?
But I heard, Al Gore showed up to the current TV party last night.
He's handsome and romantic.
Did he mention me? Just tell that mimic to stop doing that,
to
please.
Dial it down, please. Okay, Al Gore in person, exactly like you would think he would be. He popped out his iPhone and showed me the ice melting in Greenland and the pictures, and I'm like,
so he is fun at parties. Right? So he's a lot of fun at parties. It's true.
And I thought, oh, I probably shouldn't have brought that up about Scalia saying we ought to just get over Bush v. Gore.
Oh,
get over it.
No.
Yeah. I think I mimed strangling
him. Little sore spot with him, I imagine.
Oh, well.
Just get over the fact that the Supreme Court chose the president, which they're not supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can do that if you're Scalia and your soul is in a lockbox.
Well, that's true.
Well, we had a great conversation about, I guess he brought up global warming because we were talking about when did gun control, they just got it done. I said, you probably don't remember this, but under Bill Clinton, we got it,
assault weapons ban.
And now it's a subject you cannot even talk about.
And that's the Democratic Party's fault. They've dropped it. I guess the focus group said people didn't care as much. They've dropped it as an issue. I think they're wrong. I think that there's a lot of people on the conservative side as well. We saw with Bill Kristol this weekend. Bill Kristol himself came out and said people should have access to handguns and hunting rifles, but not automatic weapons and not assault rifles. And while it's true that most of the crimes and murders are committed with handguns and not automatic weapons, where do you draw the line? Should civilians be allowed to have napalm throwers? Should civilians be allowed to have grenade launchers?
We had a lot of these armchair heroes calling yesterday, Russell Pierce talking about, it's the cowards in the theater that were sadly unarmed that didn't do something about this.
You mean these patriots who were all members of well-regulated militias?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, the heartbreaking stories of all the heroes that were in that theater. So it was beyond disgusting what he said. But my point is that we had... Who was it yesterday, Jim? The guy that called and said, I would have, first of all, my spidey sense would have told me it would have happened, and then I would have used my...
Kung Fu action grip.
Kung Fu action grip, my superpowers didn't...
So when there's tear gas going off, people are running around in a panic, and every guy pulls out a gun and tries to shoot the guy with a gun.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
that's how you keep it safer?
It's a good plan. I got a lot of letters about this. Martin in La Jolla said, Steph, it's idiotic for gun nuts to insist arming the populace would have prevented the Aurora shootings. James Holmes was covered head to toe in Kevlar. Yeah. A pistol round would have no chance of taking him out unless you hit him in the face. That's an impossible shot in the dark, even more impossible for an untrained amateur gun owner.
Can I just say
I've got several years of experience in the military and law enforcement. It takes a lot of training to develop someone with the discipline to respond in a tactical situation. Shooting a stationary target on weekends just doesn't cut the mustard. Martin, thank you.
I think we all need to have concealed nuclear weapons because Iran
yes.
might have one.
Right.
If Iran has a concealed nuke, sure. I want to protect right. my family with my own concealed
right.
nuke.
Don't tread on me, mm-hmm. dude, and my mm-hmm. nuke.
Blow yourself up before they can do it.
Exactly.
So that'll show them.
Yeah, exactly.
Other countries don't have these problems.
Yeah.
Other countries don't have these problems.
Some people are problem solvers, and somebody did have a good idea, and that's Dick Cheney, who is very, if he had been there, because
he's adept at shooting people in the face.
Yes, he is very adept at shooting people directly
well,
in the
with
face.
With buckshot, that's not,
that's a little bit.
Might have
and those are loyal subordinates
who
apologize
up.
For it.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, got my face in the way of your buckshot.
Yeah.
And you feel the sexy liberal excitement building. I'm literally surfing a sexy liberal wave at this point.
I am in this town for one reason. I came early to get ready for Saturday night.
That's what I'm talking about. Pantages nearing a total sellout. George writes, Christmas in July at the Pantages. Hi, Steph. Since I use a power wheelchair and my last name is Bentley, can I be the official luxury vehicle of the Stephanie Miller Show? Yes, you can.
Wow.
I got my tickets to the Big Sexy Liberal Show this Saturday at the Pantages. I've been waiting with wild anticipation since last December when I bought them as a Christmas present for my brother. I got the best accessible seats I could, four rows from the stage, so I hope that gets me into the meet and greet. Yes, I believe indeed it does.
It does. Computer 30, yeah.
See you Saturday night. We'll see you Saturday night. Even the right-wing host over there with the big, huge 50,000-watt stick,
yep.
he's over there. He's like giggling like a schoolgirl. He's so excited.
I know.
He's doing plugs left and right. He's bringing his sensei, who's our big fan.
It's really going to be a special show. I mean, we played big rooms before.
Two huge celebrity surprises on panel. Mm-hmm. Lots in the audience that we can't talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, my God!
We might have to.
Remember how I almost exploded when I couldn't say that Aretha Franklin's going to Detroit show?
And we couldn't say it.
Yep.
But the whole crowd knew it because as soon as Aretha walked in, someone got a photo of her in the lobby, put it up on the Twitter machine, it got retweeted all over. And then they could hear Aretha's laugh from the balcony the whole time. Aretha, for those
they
who don't
the
know.
They saw the bedazzled hat flopping.
Yeah, Aretha came to our show in Detroit last August, and she brought an entourage of 11 people, bought all her tickets, wouldn't take comps.
I was just saying this yesterday. Here's the sexy liberal thing, and this is in the 99%, 1%. These are all obviously 1%ers.
Right.
Not one of them has asked for tickets.
They
half the time,
tickets.
We just found out later that they bought them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, none of them. It just
they can't afford it.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying that's unusual. You know, for big shows, people always ask
especially
for
in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
The celebrities on the panel paid for their tickets, so we'll see if they feel they got their money's worth.
They're painting the fence.
No pressure. Hope you don't suck.
They're whitewashing the fence for us. Seriously.
I guess our Tom Sawyer, our guest recruiter. Chris LaVoy with the Mark Twain reference at 6:15 in the morning.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Nothing but net around here, Mr. Fugle say.
It's been quite a week. I'm glad to be here with you. I really loved filling in for you 2 weeks
Thank
ago.
Thank you.
The staff here was great to me, and everyone was very kind. And I'm sorry about that the crystal that I broke, but you can fix that with glue.
Yeah.
And and I'm sorry about your sofa and your office as well, but I can...
The risky business crystal egg.
Funny.
Don't run a black light over your
you
office,
know, you
is
just...
all I'm saying. And anything on your hard drive didn't come from me. That's
all. By the way, since I'm just in my name-dropping phase, let me tell another little... Can I have my festive story music?
Oh, sure.
It's funny you're doing that to me, because guess who I just did it to yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Kate Walsh, from the fabulous actress from Grey's Anatomy. And,
yeah.
Yes. What did you do?
Well, I'll explain the story.
Okay,
first of all, she's a big Obama girl. Very exciting.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I had dinner at her house this past weekend. She wasn't there, but I am friends with her business partner who had a bunch of people over. I was invited. So I saw a big picture of her with Obama. I'm like, oh, she's an Obama girl.
So funny.
So I'm hiking yesterday, run into my friend and her. Hiking.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my God, your house is beautiful. I said, the meth party really went well. And I said, I think those, you know, those last pieces of furniture, I think that you know, the glue is working. And
yeah. We cleared cleared the lab out of the basement in time. Walt and Jesse got that done.
She has a delightful sense of humor, as it turns out, for me.
It's like risky business in her house.
The glass egg, is everything okay? I glued the glass egg back together.
There's a crack in the egg. I'm very disappointed
in
you.
Very disappointed in you.
Is she coming to the
and
show?
And when Kate Walsh is disappointed in you.
Is she coming to the show?
Sucks.
That's all I care about.
I don't know. We didn't get that far, but we should ask. I should find out.
Well, where's her house? I'll go there now.
That'd be nice. What was I going to say? I don't remember. All right. So, she mentioned that there's a great piece in Vanity Fair on Romney's accounts, like Cayman Islands stuff and mm-hmm. all that. So I get my opposition research from fabulous Hollywood actresses. How about that?
We've actually read from that story before on the show.
All right. Well, how would I remember? Okay. I have another. I have another fine American veteran. You know what I love, John, is when veterans either call in or write in.
Yeah.
Because these are the guys that know that's a total load of crap. these armchair heroes going, I want to do it. It's guys that have never been in a firefight and have never, you know.
It's macho guys who shoot paper targets,
right,
you know.
Right.
Nothing against, not that there's anything wrong with that. That's awesome.
Yeah. His name is Drake, veteran input on the gun debate. Steph, I'm a retired Army veteran. I own many guns. I used to be a member of the NRA. I used to hunt, target, shoot, and competition shoot. I've also been in combat several times and been shot. Injury in combat have left me paralyzed from mid-spine down.
Mm. Oh, my God.
I strongly believe there needs to be more restrictions on certain firearms and accessories. The military does not even use 100-round drum magazines. They use 30-round magazines. And that's considered high capacity, so civilians shouldn't have access under any circumstances. The quote-unquote brave guys that call in and say they should have jumped him or have clearly never been in a firefight. The callers that say they would have shot the attacker are, in my opinion, making the point that greater restrictions need to be placed. Too many gun owners clearly have little common sense. It took me several years of training to make fast, life-changing decisions with a weapon in my hand. It's even harder in an enclosed space and even more difficult when you're being fired back up. Drake, who we thank for his service,
yes,
and his thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. I always trust the guys who've actually done it a lot more than the guys who are all talk.
Yeah.
I saw it on TV. I know how it's done.
Well, it was pretty amazing, Steph, to be here on Friday.
In the video games, I always do good.
Yeah, I was winning the game.
Well,
I crushed that guy yesterday.
And thank you for being here on Friday.
Well, thank
way.
You. Thank I got to tell you, your two guys here, these two gentlemen, were really wonderful. I mean, to come in, and I was just the disembodied voice. I think, by the way, on Fridays now, what I want to do is give
now
you guys...
Now you're the voice of God.
I want to
not just the ecclesiastical move.
No, I'm going to make a prop of a brain in a jar with my name on it for you.
Abby,
let's
normal.
Put that in the corner, and that'll be me, and it can light up whenever I'm talking.
You brought an Abby normal brain.
That'll be cheaper than a Skype cam to Times Square. But yeah. No, when the whole story broke, and of course you weren't here, and I'm so glad your dog is okay. But these two guys were such pros, as well as Courtney, your director, who just kept the show moving. And your listeners are just the most wonderful people in the world.
Breaking news: superstar Jackie Schechner, persnickety cat lady who doesn't like people to touch her things. Whatever. Which has now led Jim to speculate, what kind of stuff does she got? Mm. She doesn't want anybody to see.
I don't.
Just don't touch the boxes. Yeah. They're vibrating.
I don't know if I'd want an unpacking service.
Pawing through your stuff?
Yes.
I knew you'd take her side.
Going through my lacy under things.
Everybody likes Jackie better. Whatever. 18 minutes after the hour.
I do.
Right back. More.
Call me Jackie.
Call me. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Back more Wednesdays with Bargain Fleen. John Fugel saying as we can continue on the Stephanie.
Bargain Fleen's my granddad.
Right,
you can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. It's Hump Days with John.
What?
John Fugelsang filling in.
Jump Days with John.
Hey, I like it. Hey. Here we go. I don't know what it means, but it sounds good. It sounds
Hal
dirty.
Sparks is throwing out the first ball at the Pittsburgh baseball game, which is entirely different than the 160-pound ball we discussed yesterday.
Oh, yes.
The guy with the 160-pound scrotum. Did you hear that story?
No, I didn't quite hear that story.
it was a thread that permeated throughout the
He had a 160-pound scrotum?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was on a strange sex on TLC.
Was there a guy he met on Craigslist inside of it?
No. Of all the things we tortured Jackie Schechner with, we were actually trying to get her to answer a question as a serious healthcare advocate and journalist. Would that be considered cosmetic? Is that a pre-existing? What do you think?
That is just so unpleasant. I'm sitting in this chair is unpleasant now because you showed me that story.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you have no idea.
I was going to say you're going to cross your legs, but that guy can't.
No, he really can't. No, he can't do much of anything.
No.
I don't ever understood that. You know, with we can say the word ball, right?
Apparently.
Sure.
Well, here's the thing. I don't really understand saying, you know, that guy, you got a lot of balls. You know, like that's supposed to be masculine. If you had a lot of balls, you couldn't even walk into a bar to get into a fight. You'd be like, well, what's the matter,
if you had a Chuck E. Cheese ball jump.
I have a lot of balls, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you had a Chuck E. Cheese ball jump in your pants, you would not get much done.
No.
Well, I wish I was in Pittsburgh just to hear the announcer bring Hal on the field saying, "Please welcome star of Queer as Folk, Hal Sparks."
Well, Queer as Folk was set in Pittsburgh, so
that's
I think
right,
that's
it was. Indeed, it was. Yeah, and maybe it's an LBGT day. No, they're a month late for that. So
they're probably introducing him as from Lab Rats on Disney.
Exactly.
It's a kids thing.
Exactly.
The guy who everybody forget it was on Queer as Folk, 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 Folk.
Please,
he's
welcome.
He's only on a kids show
from
now.
The sexy
now.
Liberal tour.
Tour.
I don't think that's going
to
be.
Wow, that's the coolest thing that happened to Pittsburgh since the Deer Hunter. I'm very happy. For that. I think it's awesome that he's there.
Gary in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gary. Hi, Gary.
No, you answered the wrong line.
I did the wrong line?
Yeah.
How did I do that, I wonder?
You need to answer six.
Party shots with Al Gore. Okay, Gary in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I was in the Marine Corps, and I was an infantryman, and I used to do MOUT or CQB. And I can tell you plainly that all these people who keep saying that if more people had been armed in the theater have lost their minds.
Yep. Yeah. Because, I mean, is there a way as a former Marine that would not have led to more carnage? I can't imagine how it would.
What, a bunch of men running around in the dark with tear gas smoke shooting at anything holding a gun?
Yeah.
It's insane because notice that I'm still here talking to you.
Yeah.
I used to be the guy who used to walk into the room with the gun.
Yeah.
So if I'm still here, all those people that were inside the room aren't still here, who has the advantages in that situation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had the advantage of surprise. I mean, from what I'm told, I don't know what you heard, Gary, but I heard people could barely see anyway to see where it was coming from.
I always hear this argument, but I never see an example of it working.
Yeah.
Plus, this guy had better body armor than you probably had.
The Marine. I know. Let's go to Tom in New York. Hey, Tom. Welcome.
Hey, Steph and the Brooks. How are you doing?
Good morning.
First, I'd like to give a shout-out to my mother in the chat room. Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
And, you know, the NRA has done a really good job of convincing people, convincing gun owners that they represent them. But what it really comes down to is that the NRA represents gun manufacturers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at this. Did you see the headline? Of course, the huge run on guns in Colorado yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, because, of course, they start fear-mongering right away.
Because Eric Holder's going to come take it away.
And also, look at the NRA's ticket with the Disclose Act. Why would they be for the Disclose Act? What does that have to do with gun owners? Why are they for these armor-piercing bullets? It's for gun manufacturers. And no one talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I didn't go on the NRA site yesterday, but over the weekend, there was nothing about Colorado. Two articles about how Eric Holder is coming to take your guns away. The NRA exists for one reason.
Rush Limbaugh talks about Fast and Furious. Like, that's like not a crazy conspiracy theory, but a proven fact. Fast and Furious was about the Obama administration hoping that would happen so that they can get gun control again.
When you were away, I had Catherine Eben on, who wrote the Amazing Fortune article, the real story behind Fast and Furious, which everyone needs to read because you've heard nothing but lies from the right-wing media. And Fast and Furious, at its core, is essentially the Republican argument for everything. You've got a problem with violence? Throw more guns at it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, yes. How is that not logical?
That's the one time I've ever heard Republicans or conservative right-wingers not like gun proliferation.
Yeah. Don in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm glad that I discovered your program.
Thank you. Me too.
You had, like, Marines call in before. I served in Vietnam. I was in the Marine Corps for 9 years. And, like, I was a rifleman in combat.
Thank you for your service.
And you're in that situation, you're really afraid. You're afraid every day, things going on all around you and things like this. This guy came in full body armor. His whole end was supposed to be to step outside and shoot it out with the police.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's what somebody was saying. That's why he told, you know, they're speculating why he told the police about the booby-trapped apartment, because he was coming for a gunfight. He expected to be killed, I think.
And his rifle.
And since he wasn't, I guess.
His rifle jammed.
Yeah.
And thank God for that, because the body count would have been a lot higher. Most of these casualties must have come from his handgun, presumably. And the rap was that he left his stereo blasting really loud so someone would walk into his apartment and trigger it. But then he told the cops anyway. I don't know if he was planning on a gunfight with the cops.
I don't get that, why he told.
Well, because people have speculated. He thought he was going to die in the shootout, so I don't know. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with more of Wednesday's Hump Days with...
Jump Days with John.
Jump Days with John, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sense.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow. She just never shuts up.
What did they pay me for? This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in studio with us all 3 hours. I think we're going to do a switcheroo. Hopefully Hal will be in on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sexy Liberal Tour Director, High Strung Roland.
Yes.
When I get something all in caps, you know that you need to hit the air raid siren. Yeah.
Did Roland go the full Owen Meany on you?
Yes. Yes. Get the no Stephanie ready, because this is his, this is what happens. We get the sexy liberal craziness right before big shows like the LA show this Saturday at the Pantages.
It's an important announcement.
Yes. I got many emails last night from people trying to buy tickets saying the ticket website they find for the tickets only had 6 seats left at $225 each, $450 for a pair of rear orchestra. This is because they're Googling sexy liberal tickets. It comes up, of course, as a scalping site.
Yep.
Don't go to scalping sites.
No!
Roland implores you. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com and type in Sexy Liberal in the ticket box, or go to our Facebook, Sexy Liberal Facebook or Twitter. Don't get taken in by scalpers.
Or SexyLiberal.com.
Yeah,
easy.
He says that we can't even be sure these are actual tickets. And it breaks my heart when people get suckered, yeah. and then it makes it look like we're charging zillions of dollars.
Well, exactly, and it's wrong. And if you want to try and take your chances with a scalper, just show up at the show, because they'll be outside trying to sell them at face value at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and by the way, our Sexy Liberal cause, our friends at Trevor Project, and so don't get taken in by scalpers. We give some of the proceeds to a different Sexy Liberal cause. It goes to Trevor Project.
Exactly.
Here. So, all right, so... Yeah. Anyway, yeah, because we are almost sold out, but that's the problem is that when you just Google it, it says it's completely sold out, and you can only get tickets here, and we have a low price of
$1 million
for these tickets. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
If you work for a scalping site, you are going to have a room in hell with Mussolini, Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
And
particularly when we're trying to do something good with these shows, in addition to just bringing the sexy liberal, we're trying to give some money to some good sexy liberal causes.
The Trevor Project.
Yes, thank you.
Exactly. But this always happens at every great show. And it's a sad reality of the business. It's going to happen. It would be nice if it didn't. So, yeah, only go to Ticketmaster. I can't believe I'm saying that. Or go to the Pantages Theater box office.
There you go.
You can do that as well anytime.
Yeah. All right. Gina in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gina.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My question is, what if there were more than one person in that theater packing? They would think that the other gunman was working with them, and it would have turned into a circular fire.
Exactly. Can you imagine, Gina, already the chaos in there? No one would know what the hell's happening. Like,
exactly.
How do you know who's the good guys and who's the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
Reporter Muggs. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John. What were you saying?
Oh, reporter Muggsy says, people without gas masks shooting through the tear gas fog in the dark, shooting blindly. Who do the cops target when they arrive?
Yeah, exactly. This is one of our armchair hero that called yesterday. Steven writes, Steph, I think what your caller yesterday was trying to say was that in every action movie he ever saw, when the bad guys were firing off millions of rounds on their semi-automatic weapons, the hero dodged all those bullets and took them out. And that's what he would have done, so why didn't those theater goers do it? Also, when he plays video games and the guys try to shoot him, he takes them out, man. So why didn't they do it? Why didn't they do it like in a video game?
I would like to point out now that the suspect was allowed to buy 6,000 rounds online, and Tommy Chong went to jail for selling bongs.
Yes. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Wow.
No one has ever been killed by a bong, I'm pretty sure.
Unless you overheat it, it shatters, it cuts an artery, then maybe.
You get too high and you bang your eye with the jet.
I never had that problem, Jim.
Yeah,
unless you tried to pull down a bale of Cheetos at Costco in a munchie frenzy and it crushed you to death.
Okay.
Rose.
Well, we've all been there.
Yeah, unfortunate bong incident.
Yes.
Okay.
Rose in Wisconsin. Hi, Rose.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
I love you guys so much.
Thank you.
Listen, the thing I wanted to ask about is I just don't understand what has happened to the American psyche, that somehow the availability to get your hands on guns and own as many guns as possible, no restrictions, is the gold standard by which we judge our freedom in this country. I don't get that. What about privacy and one person, one vote, and all the other things we cherish about this country's freedoms? So many other free societies in this world don't have their freedoms wrapped up in the idea of acquiring guns.
So many other societies? All other societies in the world.
Well, I mean, Rose, a lot of people made the point that a lot of, the country that a lot of these people, these gun nuts are describing, it's Somalia. If that's where you want to live, where, everybody has a gun and there's no government regulations hardly of any kind.
Exactly.
Chaos.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know which stories made me cry more, but the because I think I was particularly struck by not just Russell Pierce, but some of our callers just implying, again, that, like, the guys in there were wussies or something because they
didn't go. Yeah, because they just took a bullet for their girlfriends, but they didn't fire
back.
Well,
it's disgusting. And again, when you talk about this, people on the right will say, why are you politicizing a tragedy?
Yeah.
I got that all weekend. We got it all day Friday. Why are you politicizing a tragedy?
Right.
Folks, when you have congressmen who are owned by the NRA, when the NRA gets to write laws through ALEC, hand them to legislators, and the legislators just introduce these bills written by the NRA.
Talking about it isn't politicizing.
When the NRA gets the assault weapons ban lifted under George W. Bush, it's already politicized. Some of us are not politicizing a tragedy. We're trying to prevent the next one.
Yeah, well, I mean, they always say, well, not now. Well, when would be a good time to talk about
it's
this?
It's already politicized. It's America. Well, everything's politicized.
I mean, but anyway, in the light of, you know, Russell Pierce saying, where were the men of United Flight 93? Where were the heroes? Where were the brave men with guns? It's just... This headline alone grabbed me. Women who survived theater shooting grieve for hero boyfriends. Four of them.
Oh my God.
Of the 12 people killed in the Aurora theater shooting, four of them were men who made the ultimate sacrifice to protect their girlfriends. Now each of these women are struggling to come to terms with both their grief and their gratitude. And
it's amazing.
Heartbreaking. One of the gals said, I was really, really confused at first about what was going on. So confused, but it was like Alex didn't even hesitate because I sat there for a minute not knowing what was going on. He held me down. He covered my head and said, stay down. It's okay. Just stay down. So I did. He blocked the bullets that would have hit her and was killed. He said he was my angel that night, but he was my angel every day. I knew him. I'm broken.
Oh my God.
We don't want to take anyone's guns away. We want to make it harder for deranged people to get 6,000 rounds of ammo.
Yeah.
Make it harder for them to get weapons that are designed for one purpose, to kill other humans.
Yeah.
You know, you can make the argument, number one, you're not in a well-regulated militia. You're in a completely unregulated non-militia. And I got a lot of angry comments already. Gene Starwin writes, fully automatic weapons are highly restricted. Grenade launchers are legal, but highly restricted. Ignorance prevails. Sorry for my ignorance. It's great we can own grenade launchers.
That's awesome.
Don't you feel safer now?
Because
the other guy might have a grenade launcher. I better have one as well.
Yeah. U.S. Navy Petty Officer, Third Class John Larimer, and his girlfriend Julia, another one of the couples, she said John immediately and instinctively covered me and brought me to the ground in order to protect me from any danger. Moments later, John knowingly shielded me from a spray of gunshots. It was then, I believe, John was hit with a bullet that would have possibly struck me. I feel very strongly that I was saved by John and his ultimate kindness. And, you know, it's just, how dare the Russell Pierces of the world say things like, oh, there was no where were the brave heroes in there. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
How about this story? A woman whose husband was critically wounded in the Colorado movie theater shooting has given birth to the couple's first child.
Yeah.
He is in critical but stable condition, suffering a bullet wound to the eye.
Is this Caleb the comedian?
As Caleb slowly recovers, medical bills are mounting. Caleb, who is an aspiring comedian, does not have health insurance, and medical bills could near $2 million.
His name is Caleb Medley,
and they have a website.
Can search on Daily Coast or on Facebook, and there's ways you can donate. He has no health insurance, and you can really help save his life. It'd be great to see a lot of people chip in and do it. Of course, there's other countries that don't have this insane access to guns,
have very sane access
to affordable health care.
Yeah. Rich in South Bend, Indiana.
Why do you hate America?
I don't hate America. I love Americans.
Rich calling from the shadow of Touchdown Jesus in Notre Dame. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Stephanie. You know, I'm a Vietnam era vet, and I got to thank that for all these NRA wannabes. Number one, you're in a closed room with tear gas, your eyes are burning, tears are flowing down your face, and you're coughing like you just inhaled your first cigarette. You ain't seeing nothing.
Yeah.
At second, the people at Yahoo said, well, we're all the heroes. Well, let's see here. Four of the dead, two active duty military, two vets, and two active duty in the hospital. You know, I am so sick and tired of these wannabes walking around like there's somebody. It just makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, it's really disgusting, the judgment that was thrown at these poor people. You know, these victims, why didn't they do anything? First off, the theater had a no weapons policy.
The right is using that to say, oh, this is why I blame that. That's why they were unarmed in there.
Exactly. Like, you solve the gun violence problem by having more guns. It doesn't work, America. This is what you didn't like about Fast and Furious. Yeah. It's still going on.
Yep. By the way, speaking
funny
of...
Funny stuff, by the way. Though.
Yeah, this is... Woo! More slide whistle. No, we were saying, well, speaking of Caleb and health insurance, I mean, this is the stuff that just, The Congressional Budget Office projects the Supreme Court's health care reform decision will leave 3 million people who would have otherwise been covered under affordable care without insurance, but will reduce the 10-year price tag of the law by $84 billion. The new projections suggest the GOP's recently renewed effort to repeal the entire law would increase 10-year budget deficits by over $100 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the things that just makes no sense on this. These whole like fiscal conservative arguments. I mean, those are just numbers. Over $100 billion. I mean,
but they're not conservatives. They never have been.
Right.
They say this word
more,
conservative to get real conservatives to vote for them, but they never do. Reagan raised taxes 11 times when the economy was bad. No GOP president's balanced a budget since Nixon. Why,
right.
if you're a conservative, would you trust your money with this party that always promises you one thing and then governs like the worst stereotype of Democrats every time? And Romney's no different.
By the way, great story in the LA Times yesterday, speaking of that, because we'll get to the fiscal cliff
thing.
Tax, Bush tax cuts, whatever. But, John, you mention this all the time, but, the fun facts are just not so fun. The national debt rose 190% under former President Reagan. It rose 52% under George H.W. Bush, 37% under Bill Clinton, 86% under Bush II. During his first 3 years in office, President Obama has presided over a 45% increase in the national debt. I mean, it's just
and that a lot of that's paying off the Iraq war.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, this really breaks it down. Blah blah blah. They talk about the debt ceiling votes. 11 such votes have taken place since 2001, when former President George W. Bush embarked on a spree of cutting taxes and engaging in costly government programs such as fighting wars in multiple countries. The national debt nearly doubled on his watch.
And President Obama's debt would be lower if the Republican Party had allowed the Bush tax cuts to expire the way Bush planned them.
Right.
To expire.
Right. And you can't say that enough. This is just a news story. It's not a partisan piece.
No.
It's just out of the LA Times.
That's
the actual
thing
numbers.
I'd love to get posted on the Stephanie Miller website.
Why?
I think we can
do that.
I think we can do that, too.
That would be wonderful. That's what we kind of ammo we need. Again, slowest growth in government spending since Eisenhower
under this president. But this talks about, we really should post this, and we'll talk more about it when we get back, because it is really serious. They're talking about basically they're playing chicken with the economy. It's called the fiscal cliff. It poses a grave threat to our economic well-being, even though it's entirely avoidable. Our elected representatives, mostly, it must be said, our Republican friends, seem determined to plunge us into financial catastrophe for the sake of political gain.
And this is why Congress has a lower approval rating than chlamydia.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Jump Days with John.
Thank you.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jump Days.
Oh, come on! You gotta admit, this is cool!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Boys, boys, don't fight. You're both pretty.
I will fight you.
Both movie versions are good.
I will cut you.
I'll cut you, man. I'll cut you.
We're fighting about which version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was better.
Okay, that is so...
Yeah. That is important, Stephanie.
That is very important.
I wouldn't recommend renting the porn version.
No, thanks. That's
Gobstoppers. Yeah, it's called something different.
You two are almost as creepy as the creepy guy that posed as a goat.
Huh?
Excuse me? Sorry, what?
Creepy man dressed as a goat. Did you see the pictures of this guy?
No. Oh, no.
But
he was spotted by a hiker.
We respect the fetish community.
He was dressed as a goat in a herd of goats. He was spotted by a hiker who said it was real creepy.
Why? I'm sure the other goats weren't fooled.
On the advice of a friend, maybe they were. On the advice of a friend, Utah's mysterious goat man has revealed that he is not just another guy wandering the mountains dressed as a goat.
Well, that's
he
good.
Is actually a hunter testing the his goat-themed hunting disguise.
Oh, really?
So that's what that's all about.
And does he slather himself in goat urine to give off the right scent?
That would have been a good move.
Wow.
Can I ask a question?
After this whole gun debate, I was riding my bike in the yesterday in the park near my house, and coyotes are no longer scared of people.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I'm coming down, and he's just standing right there, and then, like, as I started to go by, he started to go into a crouch, and I was like, now I need to carry a gun. What a bicycling. I literally was like, oh, great, because I look like prey, because I'm brightly colored and moving quickly.
Yeah, Rick Perry would have known what to do.
Yeah.
I had to call Russell Pierce on my cell phone. What should I do?
I would have asked that coyote for its papers.
Sure.
See what you did there?
Maybe it doesn't belong here.
Who brought the pungent food?
Not
me.
sorry.
Wow.
That is you, yeah. Huh?
Oh, my God.
I get it first.
Can I just say, you can smell
fish.
That through the radio. What is that disgusting thing?
Yeah, that is making my eyes water.
So
nasty. You have cold
with
salmon?
With 18 cloves of garlic.
Go ahead. Do the Sean Connery.
This whole thing smells like a whorehouse at low tide.
I was wondering what smelled so bad, and I was hoping that wasn't one of you. I'm glad it's actually Stephanie's, what she's putting into her body. That's really disgusting. wow, my pheromones are leaving the building. That is just insane.
Okay, barely in the chat room says, there's nothing wrong with garlic.
No.
Yes, there is when it's that much.
No, garlic is great.
Garlic is awesome.
I put so much garlic on my pizza, my breath could signal a rescue plane from a forest. Okay,
but
I love
to do my recipe? You know what? I'll do because people love my recipes. It's my sister's salmon recipe. Would you like? This is why it's
Is it meant to be served cold 18 hours later in a room with no windows?
Yeah, Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney can smell that on his fake road trip of Europe.
Reminds me of my early days stripping at the Itchy Kitty. All right. Now, kids. My sister. It's great. You put Dijon mustard in olive oil and orange juice
garlic.
And garlic.
How much garlic did you put in there?
A bunch of cloves. I put in a bunch.
That's
salt,
great.
Pepper.
In the privacy of your own home.
Basil, and then you put it in the blender, and then you cook it in that, and then you pour the rest of that over it. When
your house,
it's delicious.
Yes, your house has windows that you can open.
But the next day, after it's been sitting in a Tupperware, it's
marinating in its own juices.
It smells pre-digested.
It's extra delicious today.
Oh, that's
all
great,
right.
Stephanie. That's fantastic. You just set off a smoke alarm in the building.
Bitchin'. Whiny mooks. All right. More importantly...
Oh,
Republicans playing chicken with the economy. That's what's the headline.
I posted this up on your Facebook page, Stephanie.
Economist said, unfortunately, this is the new normal in Washington. There's an inability to carry out basic policy. We've hit a high level of political dysfunction. And so we were talking about, this is just a normal news article. It's not a partisan analysis.
Right.
But they just talk about, as we talk about all that, it can't be said enough, the national debt nearly doubled on George Bush's watch. So
that was freedom debt. That was freedom debt.
All of this rhetoric about the president being a big spender, blah, blah, it is not borne out by any fact.
Nope.
As these numbers, by the way, is they even, we talked about the debt rose 190%, for instance, under President Reagan. Hello. President Obama has presided over a 45% increase, which is way less than all the recent presidents.
And again, that's paying for the last guy, because the last guy did a dine and dash.
Thank you. These numbers make clear Republicans are just as fond of government spending as Democrats, more so, actually, according to these numbers, much more so. The main difference is they don't like to pay for it. They'd rather borrow from others. Yet now that the GOP has so ferociously politicized the debt ceiling process, that borrowing additional money has been made to seem downright un-American.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind that all such borrowing for spending is spending that's already been done or to tax cuts that already have been handed out.
Here's a simple rule.
Never mind that the Government Accountability Office estimated Monday this political grandstanding resulted in $1.3 billion extra borrowing costs just last year. I mean, that is un-American.
Look, if you like the George W. Bush Facebook page, if you've liked it, you don't ever get to complain about debt. Okay? If you like the Ronald Reagan Facebook page, you don't ever get to complain about deficits. It's really simple.
Senator Harry Reid yesterday on the tax fight in Congress.
There's an easy way to make the Senate work more efficiently. Republicans can drop their record-breaking run of obstruction, gridlock, and delay. Since 2007, Senate Republicans have mounted 84 filibusters against legislation that received more than 50 votes.
He went on to say what they can actually do. Senator Harry Reid.
Instead of voting on the Republican-Democratic tax plans, we're sitting here and we're running out the clock because they have forced us to do so.
Oh, he sounded angry.
Yes.
Yeah, oh.
I'm sorry you had to hear me like this.
Yeah. And Mitch McConnell, as usual,
when he gets
Jim
angry,
wants to.
He turns into Bill Bixby.
Senator Mitch McConnell, as usual, wants to slow things down.
The Democrats believe the president's rhetoric. They'll vote for his proposal. And he'll work to get their support. Now, my guess is that Democratic leaders won't allow a vote on the president's plan.
Huh?
Oh, please. All right. And Mitch McConnell one more time yesterday.
Our friends on the other side are practicing what could best be described as Thelma and Louise economics.
The cliff.
Let's just march the whole country right off the cliff and see how that works out.
This from the guy who wanted to shut down your government, America. Yeah. Republicans, this is why your party's a joke, Republicans. This is why the GOP is historically turning into the Whigs.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, I think that's exactly this last debt ceiling fight is when the Tea Party support started plummeting in the polls. So, yeah, interesting.
Slow and steady wins the race. I don't think we need to speed up on this.
But I have to ask Mr. Norquist if I'm allowed to say that first.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Jump Days with John.
Yeah!
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sex with April John Fugel saying in for Hal Sparks today. Hal is throwing out the first pitch at the Pittsburgh baseball game.
So awesome.
Pittsburgh Pirates.
So he may be in Friday. And we're just we'll switcheroo.
We'll switcheroo.
There you go.
If Hal can't do it, John may come in again on Friday.
I'll wear Hal's clothes if necessary.
The important thing is all three of us will be at the Pantages Saturday night here in Los Angeles for the big L.A. Sexy Liberal Show. Very, very exciting.
You
tickets
mean
are
there are some
gone.
Tickets
don't,
left?
Don't go to the scalping sites. Go right to Ticketmaster.com or go to our Sexy Liberal Facebook or Twitter because we're getting reports of people.
Or the Pantages Theater box office.
Yeah, don't go to the scalp. There are very few tickets left, but you can still get them.
If you just Google it, you're going to get a scalper site coming up, folks. Yeah. Do yourself a favor. Yes. Do America a favor. Do freedom itself a favor.
Yes.
And only buy reputable tickets from reputable
hucksters. There's a little
bit
of
like
that. Yes.
Don't get tickets made in China.
Don't do that.
No.
By the way, thank you for all your cards and letters about Max, my dog. Handsome romantic.
How's Max doing?
Who was in the emergency room. That's why John filled in for me spectacularly Friday. He's doing much better, but the other thing, stop freaking me out. Stop writing these letters.
You know what it could be?
Yes! And I'm like, oh my God, my poor vet. I keep sending her listeners emails. What about this? What about that? All right. Did that dopey listener go to medical school? No.
He might have eaten a rabbit squirrel.
You're like that patient that has checked every page on WebMD that before,
like,
you go,
oh, no.
Before you go into the doctor.
Max, he had a major seizure, and it was really scary. You know, it's a 125-pound dog. You don't know, and so we don't know still whether he ingested a toxin. All his blood tests are working out fine, so we don't know whether he ingested a toxin or whether it was, it's epilepsy. But it's the only time he's ever had a seizure, but it was very scary.
Wow. I'm glad it's on the mend.
Yeah. He's,
and maybe this will make you think twice about the meth lab in your basement.
Yes. He might have eaten part of my meth lab. Maybe that was
exactly
it.
Exactly.
Dr. Gray, what about this? No, oh my God, the jerky treats from China. I was like, I might have gotten those, the chicken jerky treats. I don't know. Someone said, my greenies, don't die. Yeah, so I've been in a little
greenies
bit of
is good. We like
black
greenies.
Walnut mold.
What?
There's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
so
I'm deciding whether to do
bird
the
bird flu.
I'm deciding whether to just
bird
wait.
Flu.
He doesn't have bird flu.
Swine flu.
As far as you
he's
know.
He's doing fine.
Smallpox.
I don't know how safe to be, whether I should do the MRI or not. Because the MRI would see if it's some,
neurological thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're able to fit your dog into a hospital to do an MRI? Your dog's a mastodon. Stephanie's dog was cloned from the blood found in flies encased in amber, folks. Okay? You could put a saddle on this dog. I had this dog pull my arm out of its socket in Central Park.
Yeah, sure.
In the snow.
To get people to help me, I say walk. And as Hal says, it's really the Iditarod in Central Park. And Hal's he's a smaller fellow. So he was dragged, I think, through Central Park around the entire reservoir one time.
Yes, it was airborne. It was like Billy Crystal in City Slickers. I'm on vacation!
Yeah. It's in the snow.
It's obscene, but I'm glad your obscenely large dog is on the mend.
Yes, all right, and thank you for everybody for filling in. All right, wow, John Fugelsang, speaking of which, I had not heard this. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a person a day. It's the first, it's Louis Gohmert.
There's got to be someone more disgusting than everyone
Russell
else.
Then it's Russell Pierce.
And,
yeah.
And again, there's those of us who are being criticized from the right because we want to save American lives. And we think that maybe if you're at the firing range, you'll have to reload a little more often just to make it tougher for psychopaths to buy ammo.
Yeah.
But the other side, the side that loves the guns, here's what they say.
Wall Street Journal's columnist James Taranto, I never even heard of this guy.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
You're missing out.
Yeah. He seriously tweeted this. He said, I hope the girls whose boyfriends died to save them were worthy of the sacrifice.
Wow.
What an ass. I mean, seriously?
You forgot the second syllable of that word. What an ass.
Yes. Well, I mean, it just takes your breath away, some of it. You know? I mean, they say, I can't believe you're talking about this while the wounds are still fresh and people are just like, what? And you can say stuff like that? Well, what's the purpose?
That they were worth the sacrifice. And this guy's still going to have a job at the Wall Street Journal by tonight after saying that. After these men gave their lives, I hope these girls were worthy of the sacrifice.
Okay, Jim, I have a guest quote for you. Who said, frankly, one of our political parties is insane, and we all know which one it is. They have descended from the realm of reasonableness that was the mark of conservatism. They dream of anarchy, of ending government. Who said that?
Charles de Gaulle.
No. Bruce Bartlett, who was Ronald Reagan's economic policy.
He's a brilliant guy. I had him on, I was hosting on Sirius XM last week, and I had him on as a guest. That guy is scary smart, and he's the best guy to talk about how Reaganomics has not worked.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh.
Reagan's economic advisor.
Billy in Texas. Why, looky here. I wonder what he's got to say today.
In that Texas town. With a phone call from the range. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just let him go. If you want to know how his talking points
here we go.
Are strange. How does he come up with his stuff?
Good morning, Billy in Texas.
Hey, Steph. Look. You really disarm me with that song.
I know. That's why I do it.
That was clever.
I know.
Sorry, it's tough to get back to your talking point when I jingle you.
Have you ever wondered why there's not a lot of gun debacles like that down there in Texas?
Why there's no gun debacles in Texas?
Oh, there have been mass shootings in Texas.
Stand by a minute. Every time one of these knuckleheads, you know, dye their heads orange and pink, we drag them down by the river and we stomp on them with our cap.
Oh, I see.
Right.
So it's hair color. It's hair dye that's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's not go there.
You do preemptive violence, right?
You do vigilante violence,
right. Let's hurt them before they might hurt someone else.
Vigilante?
Yeah, it is a vigilante thing that you're talking about.
You talk
really?
About...
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Someone dyes their hair about. and that's...
Been better.
Is that that's grounds for assault if someone dyes... What are you, the Mitt Romney of... Texas?
No, would it have been better if we had vigilantized that guy or hit and shot everybody up?
I have a question. Are you talking about real? Are you just making stuff up? Or are you saying you really go and beat up people you think might hurt someone down the road?
Based
on the hair color. Is that what you're saying here?
Of course not.
But then what are you saying, Billy? What are you saying, Billy?
No. No, I'm playing the same kind of game y'all play.
What kind of game?
Oh,
hypothetical
jiu-jitsu.
Violence?
Ooh.
Look,
you're talking to the anti-violence people.
The guns aren't the problem.
Oh.
The problem is
the access to the guns is the problem.
Preemptive violence is the real solution.
That's the real
okay.
problem.
No.
All right.
No.
All right. Well, you're right. He jiu-jitsued us. He just disarmed me with a...
Thank you, Billy.
You found them fellers with red hair and
beat them up before they can get out of line.
Billy, you contributed nothing.
Okay. He just did that to me preemptively for something stupid I'm going to say tomorrow. Okay.
The good, the bad, the incoherence.
Yeah.
All right.
The good, the bad, and the
dar. All right. Jim, do the line and get a moment with Sarah Palin's kids. The apple didn't fall far from
the... Oh, yes. Yeah, the apple didn't fall far from the...
Dar.
Dar.
Okay, doesn't make sense. Let's dive into the right-wing world. Sorry.
By the way, am I the only one who's noticed that Fred Willard was arrested for doing in a movie theater exactly what Sean Hannity was doing to George Zimmerman the same night on a TV set?
Oh, John Louise Fugelsang. All right.
Poor Fred Willard.
Pat Buchanan on the Brit Bear.
What is Barack Obama asking them to do? He's asking them to go against not only their political interests, their philosophical convictions, and their economic beliefs, and to raise taxes in the middle of a recession, which is not what Keynes would recommend you do. Otherwise, he's saying,
the whole thing's gone over the cliff. I mean, this is more like Rebel Without a Cause with Buzz and James Dean, the two of them headed for the cliff, and the first one out is a chicken.
Huh?
It's Bush's tax increase.
I just was going to say, the recession was caused by the Bush tax cuts in part.
But it's Bush's tax increase. It was supposed to happen 2 years ago. It's not a tax increase. Obama has cut your taxes, right-wingers. The man's cut your taxes. This is Bush's plan because Bush gave all the Clinton surplus money away to the rich folks. Mm-hmm. And now where's the money, Lebowski? It's all overseas in Cayman Islands accounts. It's not in American banks. It's not helping your economy anymore.
I love it when you quote the big Lebowski.
Yes.
You got to, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
You got to.
Well, he's the dude.
What are we here
for? And
I'm
a different Pollock entirely. I am. Okay, Bill O'Reilly.
Now, I could be wrong about this, but I think Mr. Obama allows historical grievances, things like slavery, bad treatment for Native Americans,
and
U.S. exploitation of third world countries, to shape his economic thinking.
You mean he has a conscience?
Rather than seeing the USA as basically noble, he gives the bad things about America far too much weight, leading to his desire to redistribute wealth, thereby correcting historical grievance.
That was such a leap.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And now Bill will offer zero specifics about what the hell he's talking about. Feeling bad about slavery and indigenous people genocide is having a conscience.
I was just going to say, so killing you and taking your land, that's sort of generalized.
That's poor taste.
Yeah. It's just bad form.
Giving the Indian smallpox makes him want to raise taxes. Huh? What?
Some sort of bad behavior.
Well, yes, but asking people who can easily pay a slight tax increase of 3% to pay a slight tax increase of 3%, that's the real crime here.
Slavery was just a part of a general sense of ennui.
Ennui.
Yeah.
It was just rude.
It was a little bugaboo.
Sorry about 300 years of genocide of African Americans.
Sure.
Yeah.
Our bad. But,
but get over it.
But asking Nita to have a smaller yacht?
Yeah.
All right, speaking of traveling, John Fugelsang joined Screaming Baby Airlines recently.
I'm a charter member this weekend.
Thanks, John. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk about that in this right-wing world on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
John Fugelsang with a random thought. Yes, sir?
If a girl goes home with a guy and he puts this song on.
Yeah, he already
does. It's probably not a real girl.
22.
If you go over your buddy's house for a beer and he puts this on.
Yeah.
I gotta go. Nature's ways of telling you what's up.
Time to skedaddle.
Just quit drinking.
See ya.
Oh, men are so funny. Men are always funny.
Thank you. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Monica Crowley on Cavuto.
Oh, doctor.
Right-wing world.
Again, I get back to the ideological objective of the left. This was not to create temporary social safety nets for people who are really in trouble. This was to create a way of life. This was to create a culture of victimhood and dependency, which is now what we have. Ultimately, the objective of that for the left is to create a permanent Democrat voting majority.
Who's this mindless twit?
Monica Crowley.
And where on earth does this culture of victimhood exist? What socialist country has this exactly?
Slackers.
The ones with higher standards of living than us?
Yeah. Yep.
Slackers.
With lower infant mortality rates? Those are the victims?
Slackers on Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to you, Mom.
That's it. We're more patriotic than she is.
And her sister is married to Alan Combs.
But everything she says is so breathless.
It must be true.
I'm
she's trying to warn us.
They finally found someone to make Rita Cosby look more cerebral.
Stop it.
I love Rita Cosby.
I love
Rita Cosby. She's delightful.
All right. Rush Limbaugh.
Obama's whole philosophy is upside down. It does not comport with the American experience. He's never been taught the American experience. He has been taught to resent it. And if he's like it, he has no idea what it is. And as such, he cannot relate to it. He just cannot.
Now, here's the thing.
Ooh, scary, Kenyan, Muslim, socialist, black guy, black guy.
Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh is a liar. He's a liar, and he's a racist, and he's a sexist. And he is all those things. I can prove it with an abacus and an etch-a-sketch. But here's the thing. There's things I can't say about Rush Limbaugh on these airwaves, because they're not allowed. We have no problem putting restrictions on the First Amendment, but God help you if you try to put any restrictions on the Second in this country.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. All right, Lars Larson. Man, so nice to name him twice on Fox News.
This guy went on a worldwide Gravel tour, where he did the most shameful thing any American leader could do, go to foreign countries and disparage his own country's record,
lie.
And then said, we'll make amends, as though we had to make amends.
Oh,
we
lie.
Liberated two countries.
Idiot.
We got rid of a bad guy, or two, or three, or 50, or 60. And this is the president who sits
payroll.
In the White House
yeah.
and picks names off a list and blows people up around the world, and he says he's got to make apologies for President Bush? This is a joke. And I think most of the rest of the world's leaders look at President Obama as a joke.
Lie. Everybody go to PolitiFact and check out the number two lie of the year was that Obama was going around apologizing for America. It's not true.
Yeah.
He's never apologized for America, but lots of Americans have had to apologize for Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we end with Sean Hannity talking about Romney.
Governor Romney plans to embark on an international trip that will take him somewhere that President Obama has avoided while in office, that of course being Israel, America's closest ally in the Middle East. But as a brand new RNC ad points out, this cold shoulder to the Israeli people is merely one more thing that is trumped on the president's priority list by, you know, things like golfing and fundraising and parties.
On. You're really going to go after him for golfing after Bush spent his entire...
Yes, because
and
it's okay when they do it,
no
Jim.
No presidential candidate has ever fundraised
before. Not at all.
Yeah, this is the first time. Okay. Oh, that concludes...
Thank God the Democratic Party's fighting back so hard. Oh, wait, they're not.
No, they're not.
Yeah, that, Stephanie, that's your best friend, Sean Hannity.
Carl in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
You know, it's amazing that the hypocrites on the right... they want to put up so many stumbling blocks for brown people and black people to vote in this country, but they don't want to put up any blocks for crazy people to get 6,000 bullets for their guns. And then another thing that amazes me is how all these telephone tough guys on television are calling and talking about, well, I had my gun in that movie theater, it would have been a different story, Pilgrim. But here's the thing. If I bring one of my weapons to a movie theater and three or four people do the same thing, and this guy starts shooting, and then they start shooting back, in the dark, I don't know who the hell is shooting at what. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill everybody the flame is coming from. I'm not going to distinguish this guy from that guy. And by the way, what in the hell was Mitt Romney doing speaking to veterans of foreign war when this coward ran away from Vietnam when my father proudly donned the uniform of the United States Marines and got shot at in Southeast Asia? Why this coward aborted it? What the hell was he doing?
Thank you for that point.
Je m'appelle Mitt Romney.
He's in France. Exactly right. The Vietnam thing alone. If you're a veteran and you vote for Mitt Romney.
What was he doing? He was criticizing our current commander.
No, you know what he was doing? Here's what Mitt Romney did. And now I just started my own web series. It's called Caffeinated with Maker Studios, and it premiered yesterday, and I'm going to be posting it on my YouTube and Facebook today. And the first episode.
And it's up on Stephanie's Facebook
right
now.
Thank you, Chris. The first episode is all about Mitt Romney versus Muhammad Ali in Vietnam. Because Muhammad Ali was a guy who was opposed to the war, didn't want to go, didn't want to send other people to go, and was arrested for it, okay, and stripped of his title. Mitt Romney was a guy who supported the war, even though his dad was against it. He supported the draft. He actually picketed at Stanford holding signs supporting the draft. Then,
other people.
So he supports the draft, but he didn't go. He went to do his missionary work in Bordeaux, France, and his missionary work consisted of living in a castle.
I was just going to say, you make it sound like it was not the hard scrabble time that he described it as.
This wasn't like what my mom had
in
Africa.
Hans had substandard foie gras.
He had stained glass windows and a Spanish chef in his castle, and he went around Bordeaux, France, trying to convert French people to Mormonism, trying to get people in Bordeaux to stop drinking wine, which makes no sense. If you read the Bible, Jesus is the leading cause of drinking at parties. But again, all these, and here's the thing, they criticize Bill Clinton, don't they, for being a draft dodger. Let me tell you something, Bill Clinton's number never got called. You've got George W. Bush, you've got Dick Cheney, you've got Jack Kemp, you've got Phil Graham, you've got Rush Limbaugh, you've got Mitt Romney, men who supported the war in Vietnam, supported sending other people, but avoided going. They're the hypocrites. Bill Clinton is not.
They wanted to fight the war down to the last Negro.
Well put. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So I need you all to act like normal human beings.
Boo!
I know, it's going to be hard.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John Fugelsang just flew in last night from New York for Sexy Liberal. LA, Pantages, this Saturday
show.
Night. Tickets almost gone. Go to Ticketmaster.com or to, don't go for the scalping sites, for God's sakes. Go right to Ticketmaster.com.
That's right.
Or the Pantages box office.
Yeah,
or
the Pantages.
Yeah, or Sexy Liberal.
Or the Pantages. That's what my father called it. I took my parents to see Lion King there years ago. He called it the Pantages.
Yeah.
You want to get to the Pantages, you go, you got to take the Wilshire up to the Sepulveda, over
Sepulveda.
To Pico, and then La Cienega, and then you're all up there at the Pantages.
Yeah, try any of those with Siri. Good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
All that biatch.
You are an idiot.
She deliberately is trying to keep Sexy Liberal tour director Roland and I apart.
Siri?
She will not call him, and even now because she's such a control freak,
mm-hmm.
I have to mispronounce it exactly the same way she does. Even when I do that now, she
still mocks you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said this morning, call Roland, Skahil. This is the way she says it.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I do not have a number for Roland.
Skahil.
And then...
You know, I think you could just say, call Roland.
And then she said, do you mean call Roland? I'm like, yes. Oh, you bitch. Yes.
I asked Siri what she thought of Mitt Romney, and she said he was too mechanical.
Did you mean the chanson de Roland?
Yeah, she meant too Anglo-Saxon.
Oh, yeah. Did you see this story? Wow.
This is a good one. This is just, wow.
Romney advisor says Obama doesn't fully appreciate our quote-unquote Anglo-Saxon heritage.
Ethnic-based voting.
Mean, in case you haven't noticed, he's...
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Wow.
It's just incredible.
We are part of you, said.
This tops everything that's come out of this campaign.
Oh, my goodness. He's black.
I love the way the Daily Telegraph reports. In remarks that may prompt accusations of racial insensitivity.
Wow.
One suggested that Mr. Romney was better placed to understand the depth of ties between the two countries than Mr. Obama, whose father was from
like all of our ancestors?
We are part of a Anglo-Saxon heritage, and he feels that the special relationship is special, the advisor said of Mr. Romney.
The special relationship is special? Is that what he said?
The White House didn't fully appreciate the shared history.
Mm. Obama has more royal English blood in his veins than Romney does.
Yeah.
And all of our...
That's not even dog whistly. That's just...
Yeah, no, that's wolf call.
Yeah.
That's when a dog whistle goes to a wolf call. And this guy... And again, with more of the anti-colonialism. You know, it's like if you celebrate the 4th of July, you're anti-colonial. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I just think it's really interesting that this guy from the Wall Street Journal made the comment about the girlfriends, and also Billy from Texas, are living proof of how adaptable the human body truly is. I had no idea you could teach that part of your nether regions to actually speak.
Yes.
What is going on with this country, and that is considered normal discourse? I mean, we have become so petty.
Dave, I know. You know what I find depressing is after almost any tragedy, when you read a story these days and you read the comments and you think, oh my God, who are these people?
Yeah. Reading the comments on Daily Beast is proof Darwin was wrong.
Yeah, it's
awful. And half of it's just to get hits on your page, by the way. This guy saying this on the Wall Street Journal probably was another dog whistle. It probably brought a lot of people over. And so it doesn't really matter how offensive to women or the dead his comments are. The fact is, his site got more hits. His page got more hits because
of it,
so his job is safe.
Speaking of racism, I think I was talking about this after Whitney Houston's death. I mean, if you went on Fox Nation?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. N-word, every other word.
Yeah,
good, another dead, you know, crackhead N-word. I mean, it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
The conversation has turned into a group of poorly educated junior high students. And there's the other thing I noticed, there's a total inability to say, I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hallmarks of adult behavior is the ability to recognize, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have said that, that was a bad thing. But instead, it's always, well, you misunderstood me, oh, you're so busy looking for fault, you went after that, you know. Why? No one would think less of someone who actually admits that they made a mistake. In fact, I find them much more appealing, much more realistic.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Good point.
Very good point. And, Bush has admitted no mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I can't awesome. Think of one.
8 years of awesomeness.
Awesome.
And by the way, speaking of Bush's biggest mistake, yesterday Mitt Romney told Hannity that Saddam may have had the weapons, had weapons of mass destruction, but shipped them away, moved them.
That's Sean Hannity's favorite pet theory. That
yes, because, you know, Saddam's real evil plan was to build these weapons, hide these weapons, have these weapons ready to go, then ship them out of the country so he could get killed.
Yes.
And not use them, but get killed. That was why Saddam had the weapons.
Now, we just mentioned before the break that you have now joined my favorite airline, Screaming Baby Airlines. The good news for me, I don't have to fly this weekend to Sexy Liberal. I can stumble to the Pantages from my house.
You really can.
You can.
And probably will.
Yeah.
Well, you have that guy with the rickshaw that drives you around Griffith Park area in the greater Manhattan.
I have the male, shirtless men.
She actually has these guys who carry her. I
will be carried like Madeleine Kahn into the Pantages.
Yeah.
By shirtless hunks.
Yes, being fanned by palm fronds.
But you have a who's got a baby? You got a 4 month old.
So I got a 4 month old.
So you took the baby.
Well, mom's not doing too great, so I brought Henry Jack down to FLA to visit mom, and the trip down was pretty much as the deepest pit of hell.
Yeah.
really, you know, I thought, well, he usually goes to bed at 7, so I'll get a flight at 7, and then he'll sleep the whole time.
No.
Yes, silly breeder. So,
breeder.
Just get in the jump seat in the cockpit.
Right. Well, no, but it was actually, he was great. Coming back was fine. Coming back, here's the secret. Number one.
Get him drunk?
Yeah, pour vodka down his throat.
No, not even. It's if you want to have your baby
scream
less.
We're like the non-parent show. The non-parent bad advice show.
If you want to make babies scream less, first off, they can't take the pressure. Their ears are too tiny and fragile. So get the gummy kind of earplugs for their ears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, fill up their ears. And then a pacifier dipped in maple syrup. And that way, on the way up, they are sucking and swallowing, sucking, swallowing, sucking, swallowing, so they don't get the ear popping. Mm-hmm. And on the way down, the same thing. He was a little fat angel the whole way down.
Oh, perfect. I think I'm going to try that. Where am I flying next? Columbus? I'm going to do that.
Great. Well, then careful. If you need help conceiving, Stephanie, let me know.
We'll just get her a pacifier dipped in maple syrup. And she'll
be like, what's that fetish about?
You've got to be careful with earplugs, though, because as the pressure increases as you descend, it actually, the air pressure is less within your head than outside, and it can push those things in and make it very hard to get out.
Yeah, but again, I'm using the gummy kind, not the foam kind.
Ah, right. Okay.
I'm taking two of your, I'm going to do the earplugs whenever I'm in an airport bar that's playing Fox News.
Nice.
And I'm going to use the pacifier and a diaper. I think I'm going to wear a diaper on the plane.
Very
and
good.
A pacifier.
That won't call attention to yourself.
Anyway, thanks, John, for joining for joining my favorite airline.
I have become what I become.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking, and welcome aboard Screaming Baby Airlines. If you are not currently sitting next to a screaming baby, a screaming baby will be issued to you. We'll be flying at an altitude of 30,000 feet. Should we experience a change in cabin pressure, a screaming baby will drop from your overhead compartment. Remember to put the screaming baby on your face first, and then put it on the screaming baby next to you. In the event of a water landing, your screaming baby is also a flotation device. Once again, thank you for flying Screaming Baby Airlines. Flight attendants, prepare the cabin for burping.
Horrible little parasites.
Yes.
Diane in Illinois,
they
you're
give
on
nothing.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Diane.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, go ahead.
I'm a little nervous. I've never called in, so be gentle with
don't
me.
Don't be nervous.
Just relax
it's
and
just
it won't
us.
Hurt.
Anyway, I'm just calling because I'm thinking about that off the cliff with the finances and the taxes.
Fiscal cliff, yeah.
And I'm just thinking that wouldn't it be fun to let it go over the cliff and then have the Republicans scramble and have to do something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do think that we're in more of a bargaining position than we were last time, don't you think?
I agree.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, if we do not, somebody had it. Who was it? Patty Murray? I thought had a great idea. Let all of the tax cuts expire, and then the next day, pass the tax cut for the middle class.
Exactly, as Bush intended.
Yeah.
Don't forget, I'm going to keep saying it. This is Bush's tax increase. Mm-hmm. These were designed to go away in 2010 because there's no more Clinton surplus money to give to rich people who don't need Clinton surplus money.
Yep. By the way, the president on the campaign trail yesterday talking about Romney.
Governor Romney was at it again. Knowingly twisting my words around to suggest that I don't value small businesses. Mm-hmm. I believe with all my heart that it is the drive and the ingenuity of Americans who start businesses that lead to their success.
He also said, frankly, the other side can't sell their ideas, so what they're going to do is distort my vision. And then he talked about Romney knowingly twisting his words.
And it's true.
To suggest I don't value small business. In politics, we all tolerate a certain amount of spin. I understand those are games that get played in political campaigns, although when folks admit entire sentences of what you said, they kind of start slicing and dicing. You may have to go, you've gone a little over the edge there. There's actually a real choice here. Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney yesterday doing it again.
Either they think that business is an enemy or they think business is getting a free ride, and there's a sense that somehow you're the bad guys.
And the real crime here is that Barack Obama actually ripped off Elizabeth Warren. Yes.
I know. Well,
I mean, that's the real sin here.
And now the what do you call it? They have a new slogan. We did build it. Is you know?
Yeah, we did.
But here's the difference.
Romney's campaign, the RNC, adopted the "you didn't build that line" as a weapon last week, suggesting you know
you didn't build the roads that brought your goods and services market.
But it's not government. Obama never said it was government that did all this. He said it's society. Uh-huh. It's society. And you know the Republican Party, the right-wingers always want to blame society when something bad happens. They don't want to credit our common society when something good happens, like a successful business. That's all the president was trying to say. And I did Governor Spitzer's show last Friday. He and I talked about this. Yeah. And I said, I want Barack Obama to stay on this and make his message more concise and tighter and rip off Elizabeth Warren in a smarter way. Because he's right. It's a winning deal. And I'm so proud of the president for doing these commercials defending what he said.
Yep. And the interesting poll. NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Negative campaign takes toll on candidates. Obama up 6 points.
Yeah.
Both candidates, though, have seen their very negative ratings increase to all-time highs. Romney's overall unfavorable score remains a net negative, a trait no other modern presumptive GOP presidential nominee has shared.
And that's among Republicans.
Wow. Obama leads 49-43% in this poll. I think more importantly, in the 12 battleground states, the president's lead is over Romney is 8 points, 49-41.
Mm-hmm.
But the poll says what I've been saying. He's a rich douche that no one hates. He's a rich douche. Sorry, nobody.
I'm at Romney. I'm pretending to like you. I want you to do the same for me.
He's literally his net negative. It's just nobody's ever been elected with that. So
Well, conservatives, this is why Citizens United sucks for you, too.
Right.
We had Gingrich and Santorum honest about this during the campaign, that Mitt Romney spent them into oblivion. Tim Pawlenty's got to be kicking himself, but he'd hung on a little longer. He could have been the anti-Romney that maybe could have won it votes-wise. But Mitt Romney blitzed them with money. This is why Citizens United hurts conservatives. And the only way it's ever going to get overturned is if our Republican brothers and sisters realize this, because you're stuck with this loser. Mm-hmm. And trust me, you put this guy in the White House in 2016, you are paving the way for President Elizabeth Warren in 4 years.
Ooh, now you've perked my ears off.
That's what I'm talking about.
Speaking of awesome women, when we come back, ride, Sally, ride. We're going to talk about
Mitt Romney would not have allowed her domestic partner
to
go to her hospital.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Whatever it is.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Jump days with John.
Yeah.
Filling in for Hal Sparks today.
Holla. I'm wearing very tight pants. Very tight pants.
Getting ready for L.A. Sexy Liberal, and we already know what religion you are.
Indeed.
He'll be... Yeah. And then we do the ceremonial process of painting on Hal Sparks' pants before the Sexy Liberal Show.
Yes, I have the aerosol can already.
Yeah, it's quite a procedure John and I go through.
It's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We need a spatula to take them off. Yes, to get them off of him. It's really for the groupies. Yeah,
there's a lot of help with that. So,
it's a lot of extra work on the road. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Sherry in Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sherry. Hello.
Hello, Sherry.
It's a bad time.
Oh, wait, I got her. Hang on. Hi, Sherry.
Sherry?
Yes.
Good morning, guys. I'm such a fan of your show. Thank you so much for bringing sanity back to my mornings.
thank you.
I'd just like to mention something that I have never heard, and it kind of makes me crazy. You know the logic that everyone uses that only criminals have guns?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I beg to differ. I think it's the guns that make someone a first-time criminal. look at nearly every case, you hear friends and family say what a great guy, you know, the shooter was, how there was never any sign of mental illness or any dysfunction until that moment. And the other thing that makes me crazy is men's obsession with the Second Amendment to have the gun to protect their castle. Well, it seems to me there's far more families being killed by those same men. I'm in South Mississippi. Believe me, it is a monthly occurrence.
Yep. Yeah.
And rather than, it's like the victims' families never get outraged. You never see them on TV. You never see them having a platform to vent their rage. But all you see are these nuts defend, like what you've been talking about all week. You know, if everyone had more guns, it would go away. I don't understand why the victims' families don't become outraged. I don't get it.
It's because the Constitution is a sacred document except for the church and state part we don't like.
Yes. That's right.
Right? And again, and these guys say they need, and look, I support gun rights. I believe in the Second Amendment. I support the well-regulated militia idea, too.
Yeah.
But these guys keep saying they need it to defend themselves against the government when the government comes after you.
Yeah.
You know, that's always the argument. I'd like to hear one of you guys call up about that. They always say, when the government comes for you one day, you'll need your guns.
Yeah.
What are they talking about? They mean shooting soldiers or shooting cops?
Yeah, exactly.
In their little fantasy land, who exactly are they killing?
Yeah, we're back to jackbooted thugs, right?
Soldiers or cops? Who do you want to kill?
Ken in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hi, a little bit nervous here.
Oh, don't be nervous. Why is everybody so nervous this morning?
I wanted to respond to Billy. I don't know if he's trying to be funny or not.
He's trying to be.
Let's point out that Fort Hood was in Texas. There was a Luby's Cafeteria in Texas where there was a man.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I believe it was in the 1960s when the guy in the watchtower was at the University.
Yeah,
University
I know. Of Texas. I was like, I'm sorry, there's never been any violence, gun violence in Texas.
And, of course, Dallas.
Yeah, well, right. That's what he just said. Yeah, yeah.
Could I do a little history quiz with you?
Please.
Change sticks. Who was the last Massachusetts governor elected president? Calvin Coolidge.
Oh, thank you for that fun fact. All right.
Wow, speaking of one-termers.
Yeah. By the way, I forgot to mention this hour is brought to us by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code, Stephanie. The promo code is Stephanie. Okay. Did I say ride, 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 Sally, ride?
God bless her.
Yeah.
Okay, here's something that's a little personal for me.
Okay.
Has Carell said anything bad about her yet? Because
there you go.
No, I'm just saying, I only came out a couple of years ago, and I understand she was a very private person. Mm-hmm. She just didn't want to be defined like that.
Right.
Because for anybody to go, oh, how dare she only come out now posthumously, you know what? That's part of why you got to, I think you have to respect everybody's process.
Exactly.
She's still a hero.
Exactly.
And now she's another kind of hero.
First American woman in space.
Yeah.
The only astronaut mentioned in that Billy Joel song. And she chose to come out in her obituary.
Yeah.
Which is something I've never heard someone doing before, and I really admire it.
And she was also, as somebody said, she's very private about that she had pancreatic cancer for 17 months. Some people are private in different ways. And so, I mean, just the headline offended me with Sally Ride, an absent heroine of the gay rights movement. I mean, it's everybody has their own process, their own timeline.
Who wrote that headline? What? Where's that from?
You know, walk a mile in her space boots.
Exactly.
Man,
that's offensive.
Walk a mile in her
recently,
space boots.
Well, this is the recently departed astronaut was the first American woman in space, but her obituary reveals she was the first known gay one as well. This week, Sally Ride, the first American woman in space, died after a 17-month battle with pancreatic cancer. Ride made history when she, the Challenger in 1983, in case you've forgotten, a feat she repeated in 1984 before retiring. She left a final mark on American history in the obituary, which I didn't even know this till yesterday when Sue called in Rockville. I was like, oh, really? Nobody knew she was gay.
Yeah, she was survived by her partner.
She had been married to a guy in the 80s, and who wasn't? I don't know. I'm sure I was. I don't remember. But
I wasn't.
She was survived her partner of 27 years. With that simple statement, said a writer at BuzzFeed, Ride came out. Some gay advocates have voiced disappointment that she didn't acknowledge her sexual orientation sooner.
Oh, my God. Really?
Should this influential role model have come out before her death? Yes. She abandoned the gay rights movement. Ride's, quote, achievements as a woman and a scientist and an astronaut as a brilliant, principled investigator of NASA's screw-ups will always stand and vastly outshine any flaws, says Andrew Sullivan. at the Daily Beast, but the truth remains she had the chance to expand people's horizons and young lesbians' hope and self-esteem, and she chose not to. We can judge this decision in the context of Ride's life, much of which was spent during a time when homophobia was more widespread.
Exactly.
Still, it's clear she was an absent heroine of the gay rights movement.
Oh, so let's
I couldn't
judge
disagree
her.
With Andrew
let's,
Sullivan
let's
more.
Let's judge her by today's modern standards and forget what it was like in the 80s. You
know? Exactly.
It would have made a lot of headlines for one day, and it would have been a stigma for her in that community for a long time.
Well, didn't Andrew Sullivan come out only when it was safe and he was away from that far-right publication he was writing for?
And I'll tell you something else. Being an absent hero in the gay rights movement, abandoning the gay rights, no. Lying about who you are is being a traitor to the gay rights movement. Not being who you are and not living who you are. If you decide to live your life the way you really are, it's your business whether you go public with it or not.
Wow, well, I lit a match in this sucker. We'll have more on this week. I'll do the opposing side of the story as we continue. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
We're having meal envy. Jim got some sort of fancy meal out of a machine.
What? What did you... Oh, my God.
We have a Tony Roma's machine in the building?
You're going to eat that?
On the floor, next floor up. Oh, the fancy stations are.
The FM stations are upstairs. Yeah. That's where the cool kids are.
Oh, the Ryan Seacrest fancy stations.
Yeah. Egg McMaggot.
The right wing guy has a caterer like once a month, and we're just over here. I'm like the little match girl.
Yeah.
I just stand outside the studio. I'm like... We don't have money for food at the liberal stations.
And then you pass out in an alley and freeze to death. Like the end of the little match.
So
girl.
There's a happy ending.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. That's great. It's very Dickensian.
It's a comedy.
Here.
Dickensian comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. People are crazy.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12. Sexy liberal John Fugel saying in for Hal Sparks today. The other sexy liberal who's throwing out the first pitch at a Pittsburgh, the baseball, some boy thing.
Okay. I found out why he's doing that.
Okay.
Apparently.
It's a very cool story.
Yes. Okay. He was in Dude, Where's My Car? He played Zoltan and he did the little
thing that we can't do
where he makes a Z
right?
with his hands.
That.
Apparently, that's become a Pittsburgh Pirates symbol.
Oh.
And so they brought him, and it's their lucky charm or something like that. So they brought him in to throw out the first pitch.
It is worth explaining, though, Hal was a star of Queer as Folk, but he proves today he's a pitcher, not a catcher.
There you John Lewis.
And Queer as Folk was set in Pittsburgh.
Indeed it was.
So
was the Deer Hunter.
All right, both sexy liberals, John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks will be with me at the Sexy Liberal Show at the Pantages in L.A. Do not go to listen, Roland is so stressed out at this point. This is what happens. There's pandemonium in the week right before a big show, and people go to all these scalping sites. Go just to Ticketmaster.com or go to Sexy Liberal Facebook or Twitter. There are a few tickets left. It is not totally sold out. Their sight lines and acoustics are great in the Pantages. So.
Yeah, if you're being asked to pay $500 for a ticket, you're buying a scalp ticket, okay? Unless you're going for the VIP package where Stephanie sleeps with you, and that's only $250.
Right, which, what?
$250.
I pay them that, or they? Oh, all right. Anyway,
you gotta get those cobwebs on your bed.
Don't be afraid
somehow.
To pick up those single seats because you will get some sexy liberal strange. Most people do. There's all kinds of sexy liberal hookups going on.
I've been saying for a long time that we need to have like pre-show parties for singles because this thing is like a dating service for progressive, evolved single people with decent taste in music.
Celebrities in the
galore
audience too.
On the celebrities panel, on the panel, and in the audience.
That's when can we start leaking these names?
No, we're not gonna do it.
In a world where everyone is going gaga for sexy liberal laughs. One Tour is crossing the nation to bring intelligent progressive comedy to you. Nominated for 4 Pollstar Touring Awards, including Best Tour, Best New Tour, and Best Lead Comedy Performer, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to Los Angeles.
On Saturday, July 28th, Stephanie Miller and her band of sexy liberal players will perform live at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, California. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, at all Ticketmaster retail outlets, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the proceeds from the evening's events will be donated to the Trevor Project.
Be swift and get your tickets now.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Don't miss your chance to experience liberal comedy history in the making.
Woohoo! Okay.
Thank you, Shana and Danielle,
yeah,
for a great promo.
Yeah. I know. Awesome. And don't forget, Columbus is also selling out fast in August. We have September 29th, the Mama's Birthday Show in Seattle at the Paramount. Get it.
I'm excited about that one.
And I think we're going to have a huge Sexy Liberal announcement soon. Big Sexy Liberal announcement.
More than one, I think.
What? I only know about one. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Bring me my own. That guy.
Oh.
Comedy Jesus.
The
okay.
director of this TV show has just asked me, what is Jim eating? I want to point that out.
Yeah, what is... Well...
Yes, now that's everybody's
it was,
distracted.
It was...
And I'm just an intern here, and I'm being asked.
Most of the bread, but it was a Tony Roma's sort of pork rib type deal, sandwichy kind of thing.
Thank you. All right. Take your organ from, back out. Thank you.
Tony Roma's, a vending machine for ribs.
Yeah, I didn't know
you get
Tony
a rib
Roma's
out of
made.
A machine?
That's so, not right.
That's so Fred Flintstone-y.
Yeah.
Okay. Linda, right? Jay and Linda actually write, Steph, love your show. My wife and I thought we were Republicans and mainstream Christians until the party of Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Dewey became a bastion for race. Phobic rich men to create welfare state for the 1% and too many churches to spew fear and hate. We were taught that the Samaritan provided his enemy with shelter, food, and health care. Can't we do as much for our fellow Americans in need? We strive to show the love of God in our daily lives, and often we fall short, but we keep trying. Jesus exemplified God's love to all he met. Jesus wouldn't own a sword or an assault rifle. Why would those who claim him do so? I once belonged to a proud and diverse and inclusive GOP, now a most humble child of God. I don't think my politics have changed. Jay and Linda.
We talked Jesus about this last week, too. We talked about Jesus and arms last week on the show, because we had a couple of callers call in to say that Jesus was pro-arming yourself because of that one passage that's always misconstrued, where Jesus was really saying, you know.
They like the kick-ass Jesus. Yeah, Rambo Jesus.
Where Jesus said, go ahead and arm yourselves to show that, you know, because they're going to say that you did anyway.
Rambo.
And then they
say,
well, we have two swords, and Jesus says, well, that's enough. So he's not pro-weapons. Jesus was the one who said when the government sent their soldiers to arrest him and execute him by the state, he's the one who told his followers, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword, and encourage nonviolence. Take that.
Jesus didn't talk a lot about swords, because you know why? He was talking so much about how much he hated homos.
Well, exactly. except, wait, he never did that, did he?
No, he did not.
Not once.
See what I did there?
I keep asking Peter LaBarbera on Twitter to point to me in the passage in the Bible where Jesus talked about homosexuals.
And, you know, I told a story a year ago on your show. I'll tell it anytime you want. But the story of the Roman centurion and his slave is proof that Jesus had no problem with same-sex relationships.
Hello.
Well,
all right.
When you have time.
Didn't know that. Please tell me that. Tell Mama that story.
Anytime you want.
Anyway, this is kind of hilarious. Have you heard of the Mitt Gets Worse campaign?
Yes.
Romney's bad policies on LGBT rights, the Courage campaign, and a super PAC, American Bridge 21st Century, have joined forces to produce Mitt Gets Worse. It seeks to warn LGBT Americans about the dangers of a victory by Romney this fall. It could pose to them and their families, as well as to provide the means for voters to push back against Romney campaign's message of intolerance. He's no Massachusetts moderate, said the founder. He's as far right on this issue as any candidate we've seen. The first videos feature gays and lesbians who were personally affected by his policies in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. These are people who dealt with Mitt Romney head on when he was governor.
Wow. Let's watch that at Chick-fil-A.
Chick-a-fil.
Man, let me tell you something about that. The Muppets pulled out using Muppet toys in their Happy Meals at Chick-fil-A, which proves that we actually have hand puppets more evolved than our right-wing Christians now.
When you said pulled out, I thought you were going with a contraceptive joke. Okay, well, all right.
No, but the puppets, they do have hands up there.
Yes, they
sure,
do. Bums. Yes. We have hand puppets that are more humane and evolved than our right-wing fake Christians.
That's right.
All right, so we were talking about Sally Ride before the break, and just the headline annoyed me. Was Sally Ride an absent heroine of the gay rights movement? Andrew Solomon, among others, saying, yes, she was. And I just hate this kind of, you came out too late, you should have done this, you should have done it that way. So another writer said, no, she was not absent. With this obituary, Ride has contributed enormously to gay rights. Ride's posthumous coming out is a wonderful gift to America's youth, said Michelangelo Ciarini.
Really? Great guy.
HuffPo. Now it's clear she was not only the first American woman in space, but the first gay or bisexual person to fly in space as well.
Not clear about that.
And he said, Sally Ride, American hero, this is what a lesbian looks like. He said, we should respect her choice. Perhaps Rye didn't think her personal life was anyone's business but her own. And if that was the case, good for her,
right.
Writes Marisa Brown at The Stir. Why can't we just let our fellow citizens, gay or straight, live their lives as they wish without sticking our noses in their bedrooms?
Exactly. Not everybody is comfortable being an activist.
Sally
That's
Ride's
just the fact
private
of life.
Lesbian relationship wasn't our business until now, you know, and so... And one could argue, again, that was the way she wanted to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, being gay doesn't mean you give up your right to privacy or your right to enjoy your privacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I
supported you all those years you were a coward in the closet. All those years that you were letting people suffer, Stephanie. In fact, why don't they punish
you? You know, leave me alone. You're lucky I didn't perform for you bastards.
But it's like she's dead. She can't come out and defend herself now. Why are they attacking her? Why don't they attack some of the living celebrities who waited so long to come out?
Leave her alone!
Leave me alone!
You're lucky she even performed for you bastard! You're lucky Britney would lip sync for you! In between her terrible fake marriages that make a mockery of heterosexual marriage! Leave her alone! She has a career to destroy!
May I just say, I lack courage right until the end when Shelley Wright kicked me out of the closet with her giant cowboy boots. Mm-hmm. Hey! Wait a minute! Okay!
You're lucky she even auto-tunes for you!
All right. Let's see. Nancy in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nance. Hi, Nancy.
Hello?
Nancy?
Hello.
Oh. Okay, Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Nancy's too busy being fancy and dancy.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, Sue.
Just a quick note on that. You know, unfortunately for me, people who tell you how you have to live your life, whether they're telling you when you should or should not come out or be honest about your own private life, or tell people in a movie theater how they should shoot guns are no different from each other.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, they're all quarterbacking after the woulda, coulda, shoulda club, and they're all useless to me. But I just wanted to share with you my brother-in-law, who trends right-wing, Fox News watcher, Vietnam vet, goes to his Marine Corps reunion religiously every year. I was telling him about Romney serving in France and being a draft dodger, and he looked at me and he said, "You're kidding. Is that true?" And I said, "Why would I lie to you? Go look it up. Stop listening to Fox News."
Yeah.
So he looked at me carefully, and then he paused, and then he said, "Well, Obama didn't serve."
Oh, no.
Who was three?
I had the great pleasure of looking at him and saying, "You're right. He was seven."
Yeah.
And then he said to me, "What do you mean?" And I'm like, "You realize that our president is only 50. He'll turn 51 in August." And he looked at me and he said, "I didn't know that." I said, "Stop watching Fox."
Yes. You said, "Stop." Oh, my God.
Check
all
out
right.
my new
Thank
video.
You,
I lay all it all right. out. It's on YouTube now on Polypop's channel. It's called Mitt Romney versus Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
And it's all about what a real hero does in Vietnam, who's against the war, and a fake loser who's for it.
There you go.
By the way, Julian Seattle sends me a headline. Could the drought cost Obama votes this fall? Is there anything Obama's not responsible for, apparently?
Why?
Yeah, I don't
What?
No.
Oh, God.
Washington Post.
It's actually very reasonable. It's a very reasonable question. I mean, if the food supply is interrupted or if prices go up, you know who's going to blame that on the president.
It's the black guy's fault. It's the guy that doesn't understand Anglo-Saxon relations.
Right.
Yes.
Anglo-Saxon would have stopped the heat wave. What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, 19 minutes after the hour, more Jump Days with John. Yeah.
Word.
And?
It's getting catchy.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, come on. You got to admit this is cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ride, 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 Sally, ride. Riding a rocket to heaven. Go, sister. 24 minutes after the hour. Thank you very much for that. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tammy in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. I would like to be her girlfriend. My girlfriend's a rocket scientist. Seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
One who's actually ridden on a rocket.
Yes. You go, "Well, my girlfriend's no rocket scientist." You could go, "Well, mine is."
Yeah.
Right. Tammy in San Antone.
Hi, this is Billy's Ying to his Yang.
Okay.
I want to scare Billy really bad.
Billy needs his yang yang, if you want my opinion.
Yes. Governor Perry doesn't want him to know that Texas has gone purple.
Mm-hmm.
Really now?
Yeah, San Antonio and Houston, the last two election cycles, have voted blue.
Wow.
Really?
And
no wonder he's so,
Houston has?
No wonder he's so cranky and irrational.
Well, Houston has an openly lesbian mayor.
This is true.
That's right.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, and the simple fact is Dallas and Houston is expected to go blue this next election cycle, and that's over almost 10 million Texans.
That's right.
Wow. That is, well, that's awesome. We were in Austin and had an amazing time. Well,
Austin is
Well, I know.
It's Austin an enclave of sanity and
what
love.
What did Hal say that, what is it? Oh, it's Austinite that protects, that keeps the right-wingers out.
Family in San Antonio. I got family in San Antonio. They're pretty cool there, too. And they're, you know, and let's not forget, Ann Richards was governor. The state has a record of sanity.
Yeah, yeah. But Molly Ivins, I know.
Molly Ivins.
Lots of
Jim Hightower.
Mm-hmm. There's good Texas, Willie.
Does George W. Bush cancel them all out? No. But close. Margot and Raleigh.
Awesome.
It's awesome.
Hi. Awesomeness.
Hi, Margot and Raleigh.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
I was very upset about this thing for this poor Caleb guy, and I'm thinking I would love to see a whole bunch of people, maybe from the hospital, going to the offices of the NRA with a bill in hand for this guy and anybody else whose care they're going to get stuck with, along with the police chief from Aurora with a bill for all the overtime they're having to pay for, and give it to the NRA because they can afford to pay all of these bills without batting an eye.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm sure they'll come forward on that, won't they? All right, Nancy in Oregon. Oh, we got her back. Hi, Nance. Hi, Nancy.
Oh,
maybe
no.
There's something wrong with her phone. Phil in Boston. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Mama. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I'd like to say hello to the Mooks and especially to John. I think he's great.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, you guys, let's go back to the event that kind of gave Clinton the political capital to get the large capacity clip ban. I think we all remember that horrific bank robbery that happened in L.A.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and the sight of all those dead and wounded police officers and their cruisers just being riddled with bullets over and over again, and nobody could seem to stop these guys. And unfortunately, I really think it's horrible, but there's going to have to be another event like that.
Didn't we just have one?
But I'm talking about this was on everyone's television, on everybody's nightly news. Everybody saw this with their very eyes, you know? And I think it really was, it provided the political capital, like I said, for them to be able to do something. There's something about hearing about something like this when you see it, or I just have a feeling that it's really going to take something even more horrific than this to be able to shame the right into doing something responsible.
And how many? I mean, how many of these is going to take? I mean, you know, really, we have a sitting congresswoman of the United States shot in the face
constituent event. Mama.
We have, you know, 6-year-old blown away. I mean, it's how
guns
many?
Don't kill people. People who can legally buy 6,000 rounds and 100-round assault rifle magazines off the web kill people, stinking liberals.
Wes in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wes.
Good morning, Steph. How are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hi. Hey, first of all, I want to be the official mental health therapist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah. Official what? Sorry.
Mental health therapist.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, that's deeply needed here, clearly.
Okay, and second of all, recently Romney was talking about the president being an obstructionist. But it's weird coming from a guy that we can't find his tax returns. He doesn't want us to know how much money he has offshore. But the president has to go as far as showing a birth certificate to be vetted. So that's basically, you know.
Yep.
That's why I say I want to see Mitt Romney's worth certificate. That's what I want to see. Here's the deal. Can I lay something on you for just a second?
20 seconds.
I'll save it for after the break.
Right. After the break. 29 minutes after
That's what
the
we
hour.
Call a tease.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what I am, kids.
Tease. Jump Days with John continues on the Stephanie Miller
Show. I'll tease you later.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I don't know, Opie. I guess she's just one of those girls that's got a peculiar hitch in her get along.
That was
it
great.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to
Sweet Symphony, and Nick's got all my money.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Ecclesiastical MOOC.
Yes, my child.
I have a guess the quote for you.
Approach the bench.
Who said, now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy.
Jesus.
Well, it's Ezekiel 16:49.
Mm-hmm. Now, what
you
is
tell
it?
Me.
Now, say that
it's
again.
It's the one and only verse where God gives his reason for destroying Sodom.
So, wait, where's the part about consensual gay relations between men?
Es no en casa.
Exactly. And Jesus said the same thing later on. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not consensual same-sex relationships. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was that they were not kind to strangers and immigrants in their town.
Hmm. Didn't they rape angels?
Talking
or something?
To you, Arizona. They tried to rape angels. Okay. Yes, that's the whole thing. And Lot, the heterosexual hero of the story, offers the mob wants, they say, throw those two guys out here that we may know them. If you saw Oz season one, you know what that means.
Yes.
Lot, the hero, comes out and says, gentlemen, please don't try to rape these angels. Here are my two virgin daughters. They do not know man. Take them and gang rape them. What a guy.
Hal Sparks has had a practical suggestion, I believe, during some of the sexy liberals. Angels, what, like 9 feet tall with wings? They
yes.
could. You could escape.
Fly.
Well, they're actually somewhere. they're called messengers in the Bible.
Start levitating when.
And then Lot goes on to impregnate his two daughters after Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed.
That's gross.
And they use this story to say that being gay is wrong, and that sodomy. It's got nothing to do with sodomy, which is.
I wound up the ecclesiastical.
Oh, I can
now.
Talk
See
about this
done.
One all day.
Oh, right. Heterosexual people can.
Well, that's the thing. Gay,
they can do sodomy.
Gay people
just as much
don't
as gay
own
people.
Sodomy any more than heterosexual people own marriage.
That's right.
Well,
I could talk about
Jesus
this all day.
Was so busy talking about how we should have a lot more wars and a lot less homos.
Oh, that was when he was big on preemptive war.
The president yesterday.
When you're commander-in-chief, you owe the troops a plan. You owe the country a plan. And that includes recognizing not just when to begin wars, but also how to end them.
Yeah.
How to end them.
So here's Mitt Romney. So it's, of course, the Republicans once again playing chicken with the, fiscal cliff and all of that. And the president has said he's tried before to get a deal. It's not that he wants these military cuts to take place. He wants a deal that's fair for everybody. But here's Mitt.
Today we're just months away from an arbitrary, across-the-board budget reduction that would saddle the military with $1 trillion in cuts.
Over decades.
Shrink our force structure.
Not true.
And impair our ability to meet and deter threats. The president has chosen this moment for wholesale reductions in the nation's military capacity.
Yeah.
When the biggest announcement in the last State of the Union address on improving our military was that the Pentagon will start using more clean energy, then you know it's time for a change.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
can we
break
That's
down the lies
French
in
gay.
That, please? Can we please break down the lies?
I don't think we have enough time.
When these cuts go into place over a period of many, many years, it's not all at once.
We'll only have enough nukes to blow the world up 24
exactly,
times until 26.
And we will still have a larger military than the next, 26 countries
And how many
combined,
of those are our allies?
Bigger than Russia, England, China, France, and Germany, Japan combined, and the money that they're going to use.
We need more.
But what Obama's doing that's really, really smart with these military cuts, they're going to shift more money into making what? New aircraft carriers for the South Pacific to be a hedge against China.
Yep.
They're doing exactly what Mitt Romney wants. It's strengthening our position in the Pacific Ocean.
This is a new version of you must vote for the Republican or terrorists will kill you.
Thank you, Steph.
The route to more war and potentially to attacks here at home is a politically timed retreat.
God. See?
Mm-hmm.
Same, but it's the same spin on Dick Cheney,
again,
right?
And again,
if you vote the wrong way, terrorists will.
And
kill
again,
you.
This is a guy
Just
who
saying.
Dodged the Vietnam War,
yep.
who supported sending other people to go. His father in Nixon's cabinet was against it. Mitt was for it. That was a boy's first flip flop when Mitt became against the Vietnam War years later.
Yep.
And Mitt Romney protested in favor of the draft, not just in favor of the war. Most of these right wing douchebags, they supported the war. Mitt Romney publicly supported the draft and then avoided going.
And fear mongering, as you.
Other major powers are rapidly adding to their military capabilities, some with intentions very different than our own. The regime in Tehran is drawing closer to developing a nuclear weapon.
Tehran, Iran's a big threat to us.
But that's speaking of dog whistle politics, you know, I mean, more than half of Iran's population is under the age of 30.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, their revolution is going to happen on its own. The guys who run Iran, the clerics who run Iran, they talk tough, and they send out their puppet powerless president Ahmadinejad to go out and they send him out saying, "Hey, Mahmoud, go out there and hate the Jews a little bit in public so people will get behind us." Do you think the guys who run Iran want to be wiped off the face of the earth themselves? They don't want to die. They're a bunch of tough talking loser politicians.
Besides, we have the ultimate weapon, and that is AC/DC.
Yes,
yes.
Heavy metal has been weaponized, ladies and gentlemen. At least that's the claim by a computer security researcher who says an Iranian nuclear scientist emailed him to say he and his fellow scientists were under attack by an involuntary blast of AC/DC sparked by a computer malware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So take that.
Oh, my.
Right? Take that.
No, it was Thunderstruck.
Thunderstruck.
Oh, Thunderstruck. It's actually Thunderstruck.
Yeah. Thunderstruck.
Yeah. And I...
Ow!
Wish we'd know.
Don't make us go to Wizard, because we will. We'll go to Wizard.
Here, I got it now.
Wizard! All right.
Here.
What
okay.
is this you're playing?
Yeah. This is Thunderstruck. I didn't know you were doing this story, so...
Well, that's what's called calling an audible in the radio business, my friend. All right.
Excellent!
DEFCON 2. All right.
That's a great song. I love that song.
Oh, jeez. Boys.
What?
They start playing heavy metal. All right, now I won't get them back.
It's not
Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney.
This is very simple. Band. If you don't want America to be the strongest nation on earth, I'm not your president.
No, please.
What?
But with his cuts to the military, you have that president today.
Oh, mittens. Yes, John.
May I now just say one thing? Okay, here's the thing with Mitt Romney. During the Vietnam era, he was only into doing missionary.
Yes.
Okay, when he was governor of Massachusetts, he was into having multiple positions.
Yes.
On Wall Street, he's into the group thing with no protection.
Right.
His church doesn't like women ever being on top. He broke up with Bain, but still got to be friends with benefits.
Yes.
And yet, when it comes to his financial records, the man won't put out.
Yep.
John Campbell's thing. I think he wrote that in advance. I think he did not just make that up.
Because, Mitt, you can't stand up for Main Street when you're on all fours for Wall Street.
Yeah!
Oh, I'm sorry. There was another three-point shot at the buzzer.
I could do it for hours.
All right. Let's go to Douglas in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Doug.
Yeah, hi guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Go ahead.
John, you're the best current TV sub.
Thank you.
Is that the
He's super sub.
You mean substitute, not submissive, right? Because I have two jobs for them.
Yes.
One involves a leather mask and one involves sitting in for Governor Spitzer.
Go ahead, Doug.
As Dr. Ruth says, a lesson taught with humor is a lesson learned.
That's right.
Well, Billy Wilder said, if you're going to tell people the truth, make it funny or they'll kill you.
Yeah, this is only just self-preservation for us.
Yeah,
there's that.
We've been talking about this off and on in terms of like the issues and all that don't matter if we don't get this voter stuff straight. Wisconsin Republican senator believes voter ID will help Romney win in a close race. Yeah, they can keep more people from voting.
Exactly.
The polls show a surprisingly tight race in Wisconsin. The state's new voter ID law can make the difference, according to a Republican state Senate minority leader.
So it's easier to get 6,000 rounds of ammo than the vote.
Yeah, Glenn Grothman helped pass voter ID in Wisconsin last year. Could be a boon for Republicans' electoral process. I mean, they're admitting it. What was it? A guy in... Where was it, Chris? Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Republicans said voter ID is going to, quote, allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania.
Exactly. And voter fraud is not a problem in this country.
Nope.
Approximately 300,000 Wisconsinites lack a government-issued photo ID, more than 27 times the margin that John Kerry won by in 2004.
And this is how you keep old folks and poor folks from voting.
Well, right now it's been blocked in state court, so it's going to. This is going to be the big fight, is whether this is reinstated or not in time for the election.
I always say it. It's not liberal versus conservative. It's aristocracy against democracy. And this is rich folks who want another tax cut and don't want poor and working folks voting. And that's all this is about.
All we can hope is that Louis Gohmert and Michelle Bachmann keep talking as much as possible.
Yes, please, please.
Did you see Louis Gohmert now call John McCain numbnuts?
Yep.
Yes.
He sure did.
I'm not a McCain fan, but I think he could rip his head off and down his neck, I think.
I've heard.
Yes. Louis Gohmert lashed out at John McCain.
Bag of ass. Louis Gohmert's a bit of a doughy pant load, so I think we can put him on.
He really, really is.
Yeah.
Thanks, Texas.
With his one good arm.
This is what you got, Texas? This is the best you can do?
He lashed out at McCain and other Republican, quote-unquote, numbnuts who have criticized Michelle Bachmann for suggesting that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's Deputy Chief of Staff, Huma Abedin, has infiltrated the U.S. government on behalf of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Or Muslim Sisterhood, as Dana Loesch said.
You know how much the far right wing Muslims love women's equality.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
They're like
other
far right
wing
Christians.
Like John Boehner, Marco Rubio, Jim Sensenbrenner, and former Bachmann campaign manager Ed Rollins have condemned Bachmann over these. He said, I wish some of these numbnuts would go out and read the letter before they make horrible accusations about the horrible accusations they're making. What? He is a numbnut.
You know, dumb is golden.
By the way, a Muslim Brotherhood leader said, we can't even penetrate the Egyptian government.
That is so funny. Hearing Michelle Bachmann talk about deep penetration in the halls of Congress, I'm like, she talks like a woman
Marcus
in a very happy heterosexual marriage,
sure.
Doesn't she?
Yes. Well,
QNF busting out all over!
One Muslim Brotherhood leader said, I haven't heard these rumors, but they strike me as ridiculous. The organization's leaders were either perplexed by the accusations or simply hadn't heard them, nor had they heard of Huma Abedin. The Muslim Brotherhood can't even penetrate the Egyptian government, said a Brotherhood leader.
That is a great line.
Yeah, Huma. Indeed, having assumed the presidency following a year of economic tumult and political upheaval, the Brotherhood's leader there is grappling with severe domestic problems, not the least of which is his battle with the ruling military for executive power. So, But apparently... they've already infiltrated our government.
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you, Beth.
So Anthony Weiner's behind it.
Yes, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Who is not running?
Deep cover.
Who is not running for mayor of New York, by the way?
No.
No, he is. He said he will not be running for mayor of New York. But I hope he runs for public advocate. That would be a smart move for him career-wise.
All right.
If you're listening, Anthony.
45 minutes after the hour.
Well, I'm going to moonlighting for the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, if he has time, right. Squeeze that in. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Who hasn't done that? 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. John Fugel saying Sex Liberal live in studio.
This song is 18 years old this year.
Thank you.
Saw her open for Bob Dylan on this song.
Thank you, musicologist.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie in Minnesota has a fun fact about Dr. Sally Ride. Staff, Sally Ride went into the NASA program in 1978. She would have needed a top secret security clearance since Eisenhower, and until 1996, homosexuals were prohibited from getting a security clearance. Ergo, she would not have been accepted into the astronaut program.
Very good
point. I was going to say that earlier, is she probably wouldn't have gotten to do what she did with her life.
Yep. Exactly.
So with that, she may not have come out to herself until she met her partner, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
And again, here Mitt said, Sally Ride ranks among the greatest of pioneers. I count myself among the millions of Americans she inspired with her travels into space.
Yeah. I was just going to read that, and I would have taken all her rights away, including the right to be an astronaut.
Exactly. But that's what he does to people he loves. Look at his dog.
Hey.
Joyce in Michigan on this very subject. Hi, Joyce. Hey, Joyce.
Hello.
Hi, Joyce.
Go ahead. This thing with Sally Ride, what difference does it make that she was gay?
It does not make
nothing
any difference.
It takes nothing away from her brain power. It takes nothing away from what she did.
Exactly.
She chose to live her life the way she did. And that's nobody's business but her own.
Thank you. I agree. Yes, indeed. All right.
Amen.
By the way, guess who else is moving on up to heaven to be with Sally Ride? Sherman Helmsley, who played George Jefferson on The Jeffersons, passed away. Loved that show. Loved him.
First played George Jefferson, of course, on All in the Family.
That's right.
Yes.
And then got the spinoff. And The Jefferson's is one of those shows, like All in the Family and Maude and Good Times, that would and could never be allowed on TV today.
He's doing shots with Wheezy now, isn't he?
TV is so much more conservative now than it was in the 70s, and it was the golden age of American television. It was about something. The Jefferson's is still too edgy to be on primetime.
Yep.
Richard Roper had a pretty good tweet about this yesterday. He, for 30 years, he looked like he was 50 years old.
Yes, he did.
And when he started The Jeffersons, he was only in his early 30s.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
So. It's great watching those episodes of him and Carol O'Connor on All in the Family together and their relationship.
Yeah.
I've gotten a chance
to meet Norman Lear, and he's just, you know, it really was. It was such a brilliant show.
I got to meet Isabel Sanford, Jeffersons is such a great
piece of history. I got to interview Isabel Sanford after she'd had a couple on my late night show.
I was once on Fox News with her after she'd had a couple.
Wow.
Yeah, I was on Fox News with her after she'd had a couple. We were on a panel together.
Gal after my own heart.
She was awesome.
All right. Kids, listen, we're on Celebrity Lockdown here. What the hell is going on with the Jacksons,
people? Oh, my God.
No.
We're at Celebrity DEFCON 4. Stop kidnapping each other.
Do the brothers have another reality show they're trying to drum up interest in? Is that what this is about?
I love that it's called the Unity Tour.
That's kind of funny.
I don't know what's happening.
It's not Unity until they have Rebby and LaToya on stage with them.
Isn't it Rebby? Who can
tell? Sorry. Yeah. That song with the snake.
Rebby? Paris and Janet Jackson got in a physical fight yesterday. All the Jacksons are kidnapping each other.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Attorneys for Catherine Jackson released a statement saying her children, Jermaine, Randy, and Janet, ambushed her grandchildren, Paris, Prince, and Blanket, blasting through Catherine's home security gates. And then they did something really, just really terrifying as they tried to separate teenagers from their cell phones. They aggressively.
What kind of a god?
Aggressively trying to remove. Because I guess Paris has been tweeting a lot or something. Yeah. I don't
know. Oh, dear.
Well, she's been tweeting about this situation and taking her.
Yes.
Can I just say this?
And
is
apparently, some of the Jacksons have been conspiring for 3 years to kidnap Catherine. This is all over the will, I guess. Because I don't.
Oh, God.
Whose will?
Michael Jackson's will, because he didn't leave anything to his other siblings or his father. He left it. Yeah, anyway.
So
the other siblings are contesting the will. So.
And so, of course, the kids are getting in the middle of this because it's their money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is all a plot by the Jackson family to keep us talking about them, and it's not going to work. We in the media will not discuss you. Oh, wait.
Oops. Ooh. Too late. Oh, we fell for it. All right. David Arquette has decorated his new club with naked pictures of his mom.
What?
Oh!
Okay. He's a little...
No me gusta.
It's called Bootsy Bellows, his new Hollywood club. It has raunchy pictures of his late pinup mom, Brenda, including some bondage-themed shots.
Well, that sounds cool.
Who doesn't have those pictures of her?
Very cool way.
What? Hmm. He named the club... That was her burlesque alias. He said, so we opened this club called Bootsy Bellows, and it's singing and dancing and puppets, because I'm a weirdo and I love puppets.
Puppets.
I love that he thinks the puppets are
the weird thing. Yeah,
yeah, not,
yeah,
his
not his mom in bondage. Well, now we got to go to the club and see for ourselves.
All right. Speaking of weird, the London Olympics.
Yes.
Mary Poppins will fight Voldemort in the Olympics as organizers struggle to include more random British things in the opening ceremony.
Oh my!
According to Gawker. In addition to 9 geese, listen to this. All the fun facts you need on the.
Okay.
In addition to 9 geese, Friday's opening ceremony will feature 30 Mary Poppinses fighting a 40-foot Voldemort.
What?
Probably because someone suggested it as a joke, but it would be embarrassing to scrap the plan now that they've already hired the actors to play the Poppinses.
It's sounding very American, this Olympics.
Before 40-foot Voldemort appears, about 100 children will be wheeled out on hospital beds.
What?
Nothing funnier. To perform a choreographed bed dance.
What?
To these 100 beds will be added
a dozen giant beds.
They will frolic with characters from 101 Dalmatians and Cruella de Vil. Then a 40-foot Voldemort will arrive, rising up from yet another giant bed in the middle of the stadium. Voldemort's arrival will coincide with dozens of Dementors, creatures that feed off human happiness, streaming into the arena from all directions and scaring the children.
Can I politicize this tragedy?
At this point, the brood of Poppinses will enter from the ceiling.
Are they
umbrellas,
a brood? Is that what they're called? Or a
and vanquish evil with strict yet loving disciplinary tactics. Unconfirmed reports speculate there will also be bubbles.
Wow. And there will also be copyright infringement. Can I just say to our Republican friends, if it wasn't for anti-colonial sentiment, we'd be part of this right now. All right? Thank God for anti-colonialism, or else this would be an American
celebration. Maybe I don't understand the Anglo-Saxon tradition either.
You're not Anglo-Saxony enough.
I understand.
Yeah, you're too Polish.
Hey, New Yorker, John Fugelsang, Mayor Bloomberg's proposed ban on large sodas is expected to pass.
Yeah? Wow, that's great. There'll be no more obesity in New York again.
Right.
By the way, New York City is in so much better physical shape than the rest of New York State. Every study shows this because we walk everywhere in New York.
Yeah.
We don't drive.
I mean, I'm a liberal, and I even get that's a little nanny state-ish, and you can just get refills.
It's completely
nanny state-ish. We have a huge obesity epidemic, and you're right, it's working.
That's why
he's right on gun control.
And he's a Republican.
Yeah.
But I will say, in fairness, yes, he is.
Not anymore.
Well, he was elected as a Republican, and he bought the election the last time as a Republican. And I would say, in fairness, when he began the cigarette ban, I was really against it, okay? I thought it was an infringement on freedoms. Now, it's really kind of nice to come home and your clothes don't reek of smoke anymore.
Exactly.
Like, to be in a comedy club and not smell like a Marlboro box, it's not a bad thing. Yeah. So who knows?
You know where else you can see comedy and come out sweet-smelling?
The
Pantages this Saturday.
That was smooth.
Bam! Booyah! Yeah, go
you
to Ticketmaster.com, go to Sexy Liberal on Facebook, Sexy Liberal on Twitter, to get your a few remaining tickets. They are going fast. John Dugal saying, Hal Sparks and I, Sexy Liberal, with the big celebrity surprises on
we
panel.
We are bringing the power to this show.
And
if you go to this show, you'll be around people who think and feel like you.
Yeah.
Hot, sexy, moral, smart, evolved people with good
taste
in music.
I love you.
Steph.
We'll see you then.
I'll see
Goodbye, everybody. See you tomorrow on Stephanie Miller Show.